ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിതില്യാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദേ. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminidhi Namine. Namaste Saraswadevim Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshadarine. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം ഹാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോയത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന ത്വം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവൈ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വരൈ സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവാഹിനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യാം നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാദൃദാനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരിം കണികാഭികാഭികാഭി. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ. ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷಾಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶಃ ಯಾಸಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಳಂ ಪೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರದ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸದಾಂಬುರದೋ ಮಮ. ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೈ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರದಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೇ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀ ಭಗವದೀ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನಿ ಅಂಬ ತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂದದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀ. ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ವ್ಯಾಸವಿಶಾಲಬುದ್ಧೇ ಫುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯದಪತ್ರನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪಾಂ. ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈ ಗವಾಣಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಹೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧಾ ಗೋಪಾಲನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತಾ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹನ್. ವಸುದೇವ ಸುಧಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಚಾಣೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಗೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ. ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣದಡ ಜಯಧ್ರದ ಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವದೀ ಕೃಪೇಣ ಮಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾ ವಿಕರ್ಣ ಘೋರ ಮಗರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ. ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಟಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಗೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಬೋಧಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಹ ಪೇದೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದ ಭೂಯಾತ್ ಭಾರತ ಪಂಕಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ. ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃವಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರ ಮರುದಸ್ತ್ವನ್ವಂದಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈ ಸವೈರ್ ವೇದೈರ್ ಸಾಂಗವದೈರ್ ಕ್ರಮೋಪನಿಷದೈರ್ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಾಮಗಾಹಂ. ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗದೇನ ಮನಸ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂದಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾ ಸುರಗಣೈ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. So, in those two chapters, 88 and 89 in the 10th canto, which we are coming to a close now, at the end, Shuka Brahmarshi is convincing us, telling us that one should take shelter of Krishna. To stress that point, some of the amazing pastimes, unbelievable pastimes, in the sense that nobody else has conducted such things. Krishna takes people from here to the spiritual world. Krishna can bring the people from spiritual world back here. Such incidents has been discussed in these three stories which are spoken in these two chapters. Out of that, the first one, what we have discussed was about the story of Vrigasura. Vrigasura's story was that Vrigasura, as we talked last Sunday, spoke to Sri Narada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi gave his opinion that for an easy result, it may be worthwhile worshipping Lord Shiva. And in that process, Vrigasura offered his whole body piece by piece to Lord Shiva. And seeing Vrigasura's commitment, Lord Shiva appeared there and rectified the whole body. And eventually, Vrigasura wanted a boon from Lord Shiva. Gauri Harana Lalasa, attracted by Sri Parvati's beauty, Vrigasura wanted to possess Sri Parvati, and in that way he says to Shiva that he may like to get a boon from Shiva, and using that boon to kill Shiva, that was his plan. So, and in that way he can have Sri Parvati with him. So, look at this way, that personalities like Vrigasura, even if they go anywhere, either even Vaikuntham or Kailasam or no, whatever it may be, nothing is going to change. In order to indicate to us that till the vasanas have gone from inside, even if we go to the spiritual world, somebody takes us to spiritual world, still it's not going to solve the problem. So, so Vrigasura says to Lord Shiva that whosoever head I put my hands on, he should be burnt into ashes. So, Lord Shiva was not very happy with this request from the devotee, from Vrigasura. But still, he has promised Vrigasura that he will give a boon, that Vrigasura, Lord Shiva says to Vrigasura that that I can give you this boon, but if you start using this without any discrimination, you will kill a lot of people unnecessarily, and that will be a bad name for me. So Lord Vrigasura says to him, when the boon was offered to Vrigasura, Vrigasura says to Lord Shiva, I cannot trust you. Whatever boon you have given me, I have to try it out first. But let that be on you first. This is what the devotee says to Lord Shiva. So he says to Lord Shiva to sit there, and so that he could put his hands on Lord Shiva's head. So Shiva says to Vrigasura, if you do that, I'll be turned into ashes, will I not? He says. So what? Vrigasura says, I have to verify this boon works. And even if you leave your body, what's the harm? Doesn't matter, he says to Shiva. But Lord Shiva says to him, but Sri Parvati had come with me, and let me ask her permission. If you do this, what will happen? Whether she will be unhappy with this decision? Then I think that she might agree with this, but Vrigasura says to Shiva that I will ask all that, you don't have to worry about anything. By now, Mahadeva, Lord Shiva thought like this, that what kind of intelligence is this? That Lord Shiva thought for a moment, I should straight away turn him into ashes. This was in his mind, Vrigasura. So only minutes back, he has given this blessing to Vrigasura. So straight away if I curse him, that also doesn't look very good. So best thing would be to disappear from here. And we don't know where all Vrigasura will go and put his hands on and turn people into ashes. When this conversation was going on, Sri Parvati was listening to this, and she suddenly disappeared from the scene. And Lord Shiva could not disappear because he is having a conversation with Vrigasura. So he started running from there. Vrigasura started following him. So, and the person who has been sitting there to receive the blessings, he also started chasing Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva Vrigasura was shouting at Lord Shiva, that you are not sure that the blessing you have given me works or not, isn't it? And he saying this, I would like to testify this, saying that Mrigasura started chasing Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was running, followed by Mrigasura, and nobody could go anywhere close to him. And Lord Shiva knew that if he puts his hand on anybody, they will be turned into ashes. Eventually they ran and they got to Vaikuntha planet. Lord Shiva arrived in Vaikuntham. And when they got there, on Adishesha, Mahavishnu is lying there. And Shiva says to Mahavishnu, I have made a mistake like this. And Mahavishnu says to Shiva, you stay in this bed. I will go and deal with this Mrigasura, he says. And therefore, basically to say to us, sometimes when you go to Vaikuntham also, you may say Shiva on Adishesha instead of Mahavishnu. Practically to show to us that there is no difference between Vishnu and Shiva. So, actually, in the Bhagavatam, if you read in several places, there is no difference between Shiva and Vishnu. This Shiva-Vishnu differences we have created among ourselves. But in the Bhagavatam, you don't see such a difference. Shivasya hridayam Vishnu, Vishnasya hridayam Shiva. That, and it is quite common that quite often Shiva sits on Mahavishnu. And similarly, Mahavishnu has Vasuki. Mahavishnu used to sit on Vasuki as well. Whatever it may be, Mahavishnu got out of the bed, Adishesha. And by now he saw Mrigasura is coming towards him. And immediately Mahavishnu paid his offered respects to him and paid his obeisances to Mrigasura. And Mrigasura stood there looking at Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu says to him, why you are not blessing me? He says to Mrigasura that I heard that you have gone and performed a lot of penances, pleased Lord Shiva, and you have received so many blessings, and you are perfect, you have acquired a lot of siddhis, and things like that. Mahavishnu started talking to him. That is why I paid my obeisances to you. And Mrigasura says to Mahavishnu, if I put my hands on you, you will be turned into ashes, he says to Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu says, oh, this I haven't heard so far, such a mercy from anybody. But so, I have performed severe austerities there to please Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva has given me these blessings. After 7 days of continuous austerities, that he has given me these blessings, that if I put my hands on anybody, that immediately he will be turned into ashes. Mahavishnu says to Mrigasura, do you know that you have been cheated? I know very well that if Shiva has given you any blessing, it is not going to work. It's not going to work. That do you not have any little bit of intelligence to think like this? So, first of all, do you know where Lord Shiva lives? He lives in the cemetery. Most of the time he spends there. And what is his associates? All the ghosts, goblins and all other kinds of evil spirits and things like that. And this Shiva is his old name. He has changed his name and nobody calls him Shiva anymore, because ever since that he was cursed by Daksha Prajapati. Bhuta Preta Pishajadi Prapta Preta Pishajarad. We call him as a devil. We don't call him anymore as a Lord Shiva. We call him as a devil since then. And after the Dakshayagam, that means where the big sacrifice happened, in the what we read in the fourth canto, where Lord Shiva was cursed by Daksha, that he has changed his name. Even when he put the signature now, he doesn't put the Lord Shiva's name there. And we also do not accept him as Lord Shiva. So you got to be a little bit careful that you have got this blessing from Lord Shiva, and you have taken it so seriously. So, and I have a lot of doubts about the validity of this blessing, how valid this whole thing is. And Vrigasura, I am thinking like this, that in order that before you go and talk about this to others, you should verify this yourself, whether it is a workable solution or not. Whether this, whether performing penances and austerities to please Lord Shiva and receiving the mercy from him, is it worthwhile in this way? And you can try it out, but if it doesn't work, then you don't have to waste your time on this anymore. So, when the way Mahavishnu spoke to Vrigasura, Vrigasura felt that Mahavishnu really genuinely wants to find out whether Lord Shiva's blessings has any meaning. So, Vrigasura considered Mahavishnu as a good friend of him, and they decided that before we go, that we should try this out ourselves, how it will work or not. If it doesn't work, it will look very bad. People will start saying that this stupid Vrigasura has gone and performed his penances and he got a blessing like this, but which doesn't work. So, therefore, first thing is that we should verify this, he said. So, Vrigasura says to Mahavishnu, so what do we do now? Mahavishnu says to him that all we have to do is to verify this, whether it works or not. Then Vrigasura says, I need a head for that, don't I, to put it on. He says, then Mahavishnu says to him, that why do you have to worry about somebody else? Put it on your own head and see if it works or not. Mahavishnu says, Vrigasura says, that then I'll be turned into ashes, then what will happen? When what will happen? Mahavishnu says, put it on and see what happens. It is not going to work, I am telling you, he said. So before Lord Shiva runs away from here, put both the hands on your head and see if it works or not, and then we can see what to do after that. Vrigasura did that, and Vrigasura died, and it was just a handful of ashes. Vrigasura turned into a handful of ashes. Mahavishnu walked inside. Lord Shiva was there. Lord Shiva says to him, where is he? Mahavishnu says, we got rid of him. He said, Mahavishnu took Shiva in front of Vrigasura and showed Lord Shiva that this is where your Vrigasura is lying there. Lord Shiva got a shock seeing that. How did he turn into ashes, he says. Mahavishnu says to Lord Shiva, Mahadeva, anybody who thinks of offending you, if he thinks like that, that is sufficient. That person will be turned into ashes. It doesn't have to be made into ashes, he will turn into ashes. I made him to put his hands on his own head, and Mahadeva, after seeing these words, hearing these words from Mahavishnu, embraced Mahavishnu. And seeing this, that how Mahavishnu has killed Vrigasura in this way. So you can see from this particular pastime, why this was spoken in Bhagavatam at this stage, in this end of 10th canto, that when Krishna wants to kill somebody, that Krishna is capable of killing us with ourselves. He doesn't have to come here. If he wants to kill us or if he wants to destroy us, it is possible that he can kill us from within ourselves. Janam janam janayati. In the fourth canto you will see a verse where Shukabrahmashi mentions there, Janam janayati mrityum, that to kill ourselves, he doesn't have to come. All Krishna has to do is to change our way of thinking and kill us in that way. And in order to change ourselves, kill ourselves, he can use us and kill us. In a similar way, if he wants to improve us, if he wants to make more spiritually conscious, that is also possible without Krishna coming here. Antaryami inside will offer us the right direction, and Antaryami has to remain only as a witness to everything. So, it is possible that that Vedam says, Yam Unmishinabi Sadhu Karmagaragayadi. So, anybody whom Krishna wants to improve him, Krishna doesn't have to do anything. He will stand there smiling at us. And he will make that person to do some good things in life. If Krishna wants to improve somebody's life, improve in the sense that if he wants, Krishna wants to make somebody to progress in the spiritual path, what will Krishna do? He will engage him, that person, in doing in such activities. He will encourage him from within, as Antaryami will encourage that person to perform such activities, and with the result of that, he will automatically progress himself in the spiritual path. Equally, if Krishna wants to destroy somebody, in the same way, he himself will create such thoughts in our own mind, and we will engage in such activities, and we will destroy ourselves. Both things, it's possible without Krishna coming here. Because as Antaryami inside, he will engage in good activities and encourage us to go advance in the spiritual path. And equally, Krishna will make us to do some sinful activities and engage us to and encourage us to degrade ourselves in our life. You can see, practically, we have no freedom in any of these things. In any of these things, we have no freedom. We have no freedom. Practically, people always think like this, that we have certain amount of freedom. You can imagine, when thoughts are coming to our mind, when some good thoughts are coming to our mind, which is not in our control, automatically we start doing some good things. When bad thoughts comes into us, those thoughts, we have no control over that. Sometimes you can see, you get upset with somebody, or you get angry with somebody, or sometimes we go in and talk something to somebody without thinking about it. In all these situations, will prove to us that you have no control on your thoughts. Even on your thoughts, you have no control. Thoughts are coming, uninvited, and sometimes such thoughts comes inside, and disturbs our mind, and it forces us to disturb others' mind as well. Is it not? Some disturbing thoughts comes to us and disturbs us, and not only that, it disturbs others as well, and we have no control over those thoughts. Similarly, when certain thoughts comes inside, we express that to others through words, through different languages we speak to others. And due to that, you can see at that time that you have no control over your speech either. Just like you have no control over your thoughts, you have no control over your speech either. Similarly, you can also see when bad thoughts are coming, or even sometimes good thoughts come, based on which our thoughts will change into actions. Thoughts will turn into actions. And only after the action is performed, you will start probably thinking about it. Why did I do this? Or why did I do that? So whether it is thinking, whether it is speaking, or whether it is in action, in all these three things, we have no freedom. What type of freedom are we talking about then? When we have no freedom to think, when we have no freedom to speak, and when we have no freedom to act, what is the scope of freedom we talk about then? We are jumping about freedom, isn't it? Where is the freedom? That is what this is indicating to us. If Krishna wants to destroy us, it doesn't require anything. All it has to change our way of thinking. Janedi janayan mrityum maragam mrityugandakam, says in the Bhagavatam. That to kill us, All Krishna has to do is to create fight among us. Make us to fight each other and kill each other. And that's what always happens, isn't it? So that is why it is says that Krishna is present right here with everybody's heart. He changes our way of thinking and make us to fight each other. And if you fight and kill each other, that's the way it works. Similarly, if Krishna wants to help us in our spiritual life for higher knowledge, higher understanding, Krishna can bring people together and encourage them to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and have a higher understanding of life and to progress in the path of spiritual life. That is also possible. So either way, janedi janen mrityum maragam mrityugandakam, that either way Krishna has a complete control on our life in this world. This is the point showing us from these activities. So if Krishna wants to degrade somebody, all Krishna does is encourage that person from inside, as Antaryami, to engage in very, very sinful activities. And not only that, it will engage him to go and exploit others, to cheat others, to lie to others. In this way, he will degrade himself. But in either while performing pious activities or progressive activities or sinful activities, in either situation, Antaryami, Krishna inside, is only a witness. Is only a witness. So this is why, this is the message of this story. This is the message of from this story. So Vrigasura, look at Vrigasura's situation. We all talk about Vaikuntham, isn't it? We all people like going back home, back to Godhead, we keep saying. So Vrigasura went to Benares. 7 days he performed very severe austerities there. Including his body, he offered to Lord Shiva piece by piece, all the blood, everything. And Lord Shiva appeared at the end, and both Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, both of them appeared. And Vrigasura had the opportunity to see both of them together. Lord Shiva is the Jagat Guru, the spiritual master. And Sri Parvati is the transcendental knowledge personified, Vidya Sarubini. He had the capacity to see both of them together. After that, he got the opportunity to Vaikuntham, to go to Vaikuntham. And he got to Vaikuntha planet, and Mahavishnu saw him there and offered obeisances to him. What happened after that? He died and he went to the hellish planets. Went to the hellish planets. So, important thing is, it's no good saying that if I get to Vaikuntham, if I get to Golokam, if I get to Kailasam, everything will be perfect. It is not going to be perfect. So, person who has gone to Vaikuntham, he had gone to the hellish planets. And so, first thing is, not going to Vaikuntham is the priority. This is a misunderstanding. Not going to Vaikuntham is the priority, but in order to acquire that samskaram inside, to be qualified to live in Vaikuntham. To acquire that samskaram or culture, to stay in Vaikuntham and able to survive there. So, that is where everything goes wrong. And so here you can see, everybody wants to get to Vaikuntham first, isn't it? So, what is the point in going to Vaikuntham like Vrigasura? Is it not? Like Vrigasura. So, one thing is that this thing has to be, important thing has to be understood, that Srimad Bhagavatam says, before getting to Vaikuntham, find out the path for Vaikuntham. In that case, you will not engage in bad, creating unnecessary activities in this world, and also that tendency to disturb others and to create difficulties for others. So first thing is that one has to purify one's own consciousness. Purify one's own consciousness. So, here the important thing is, it is no point in cleaning up oneself in the sense that before, unless the mind is pure, Chitta Shuddhi, as Bhagavatam says like that, you are as good as in the Vaikuntham, even if you are here. And even if there is no proper purification inside, if there is no Chittashuddhi inside, even if you get to Vaikuntha planet, it will be like a hellish planet. It will be like a hellish planet. So that is the important message here. That is the reason why this Vrakasura story was spoken, to show to us. Physically getting anywhere is not the solution. Unless the subtle body is purified and vasanas have gone away from there, no matter, even if he go to Vaikuntham, he can be back here. That is important message. You also know this in the sixth canto of Chitraketu's case, isn't it? Chitraketu went to Kailasam. What happened? He has to got the body of Vrakasura later. So Kailasam, Vaikuntham and all that, unless there is sufficient purification inside, whether you go through the front door or back door, whichever way it may be, by getting there it doesn't solve the problem unless one has the pure consciousness. So in so many instances, this is, you can see how our way of thinking is contaminated by our vasanas inside. So first thing is that in purifying the mind, that, so purification outside the body is not the important thing. Purification of one's own heart, that is why. And this is a very serious topic in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very serious topic there. That, and this incident from Vrakasura's story takes us into another two incidents in the 89th chapter. We have read that before. That it so happened that from two stories this will come out, the same message. That going to Kailasam, Vaikuntham, Golokam, that is not the priority. That have we acquired the qualifications to be there? That's the most important thing. And if not, what can happen? What happened to Vrakasura? The same way, another two stories also, like there are three stories in these two chapters, to indicate to us that misunderstanding of going to Kailasam, Vaikuntham and all that must go. That unless we qualify ourselves to be there, it is no point going there. It's no point going there. So, Bhrigu, all the rishis together, they had a meeting. And they had a doubt among the Brahma, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, who has the highest patience. They decided to depute Rishi, Maharshi Bhrigu, to find this out. Bhrigu goes there. The reason, why did they select Bhrigu for this purpose? There were so many other rishis also. Why did they select Bhrigu? The reason being, Bhrigu cannot take anybody's side because he is related to all three of them. To Lord Brahma, to Lord Vishnu and to Lord Shiva. He is related to all of them. First thing is, he is the son of Lord Brahma. So Brahma is his father. Therefore, Lord Shiva is his brother. Isn't it? And Lord Shiva, Bhrigu's daughter is married to Mahavishnu. From all three sides, he has a relationship with Brahma, with Vishnu and with Shiva. So therefore, equally he is placed with all three of them. He does not take one, he does not prefer one over the other, because he has a relationship with all three of them. So Bhrigu, therefore, he will not become partial to anybody. That is the reason why they selected Bhrigu to go to verify this. First he goes to Brahmalokam, to see Lord Brahma. When he got there, Lord Brahma wasn't there. He pulled Lord Brahma's chair and sat on that. So Brahmaji was not there. Brahma came back and saw Bhrigu sitting on his chair. So he looked at him. He says, "Why are you sitting on my chair?" He says, Bhrigu was put one leg on top of the other and sit in a very authoritative way. Brahma says, "Why are you sitting on my chair?" He asked Bhrigu. Bhrigu says, so what? He said. So Brahma got so upset, seeing his arrogance. And he got so angry, immediately Bhrigu got up and ran away from there. Brahma says to him, why are you running away? He said. Yes, he said, forgive me, he said. My father, he says to Brahma, I came to test whether you get angry or not. You have failed. He said, you got so angry so quickly that you are not, I do not agree that you have not passed the test, he said. So, 0 mark for Brahma. Brahma got 0. Straight away, he went to Kailasam. So, when Lord Shiva was very happy to see that his brother has come, younger brother, isn't it? Bhrigu. So, Bhrigu has come and he felt so happy seeing his younger brother, wanted to go and embrace him, seeing the younger brother. Bhrigu says, don't touch me, he says. Stood there and told Lord Shiva, don't touch me, he said. Whole body is covered in ashes. I don't want all that ashes on my body, he says to him. Keep away from me, he said. Lord Shiva got so angry, he took the trident and wanted to kill him straight away. Fortunately, by then, Sri Parvati came from the back and held him back, held Lord Shiva back. What is this? Why you want to kill him? After all, he is your younger brother, isn't it? Do you know why he had come? He says, whatever it may be, what does it matter if he behaves like this to me? So, he wanted to see whether you get angry or not. And then you should have told me that before. Shiva says to Sri Parvati. Parvati says to me, only now I was told by Saraswati from Brahmalokam that he had just left there and he's on his way here. But by now it's over. So, if you had told me that he is trying to test my anger, then I would not have acted like this. Anyway, there is no point. 0 mark left. Goes to Vaikuntham. Bhrigu goes to Vaikuntham. When he got there, it appears as though this whole thing is a combined activity by Mahadev, Vishnu, Shiva and Brahma together with Bhrigu. They have done it together. So when he got there, Mahavishnu is lying there with his head in the lap of Mahalakshmi, lying there. And when he was lying like that and sleeping as well, Bhrigu got there, gave him a good kick on the chest, Mahavishnu's chest. Immediately Mahavishnu woke up and got up. And if you look at the Bhagavatam, you will see what happened there. Mahavishnu's reply, Ativa komalo tata charanau te mahamune ittitva viprasharanau mardayan svenavanina. 10th verse. He says to him that Ativa komalo tata, your feet is so soft, like the petals of, more than the petals of a lotus flower. And my chest is like solid black rock. And by kicking on my chest, did your feet get hurt? Shall I massage it? Mahavishnu says to Bhrigu. Didn't say one word to Mahavishnu, walked out from there, Bhrigu. Bhrigu walked out from there. So, after all, Mahalakshmi was there, the daughter. And Bhrigu is her father, isn't it? So, Mahalakshmi got up and says to Bhrigu, father, you are going away without having any prasadam from here, from Vaikuntham. Bhrigu says to her, I have no time, I'm busy, I'm going, he said. So, Bhrigu went back to the rishis again, to all the sages. And they asked Bhrigu, what happened? Who has the highest patience of all the three? Bhrigu says to them, I won't say who has got the highest patience, but I'll tell you what has happened in all the three places. You can decide yourself who has got the highest patience. That's the 15th verse. తన్నిశమ్యాథమునయో విస్మిదాముక్త సంశయాః భూయాం సంశ్రద్ధ దుర్విష్ణు యతశాంతిర్యతో భయం. That Srimad Bhagavatam does not differentiate between Shiva and Vishnu. There is no difference between Shiva and Vishnu. When you hear this story, you may think like this, that Vedavyasa Maharshi only keeps glorifying Mahavishnu and puts Mahavishnu on a higher level and puts Lord Shiva on a lower level. But here, the intention was not to show that difference between Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva. What you have to understand here is that Mahavishnu is the same person who has that form where he has accepted Sattvagunam, mode of goodness. Same person, Krishna has accepted this Sattvagunam and in the form of Vishnu present there. Similarly, Krishna has accepted the form of Shiva and that is in the mode of Tamogunam. Same person, with accepting Sattvagunam appears as Vishnu, accepting Tamogunam appears as Shiva, and accepting Rajogunam appears as Brahma. One person, one entity. Accepts Sattvagunam and presents in front of us as Vishnu. Accepts Rajogunam and presents in front of us as Brahma. And accepts Tamogunam and presents in front of us as Shiva. That means, practically you can say that these three modes of nature does not have anything to do with them. Anything to do with Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva. They have nothing to do with that. And neither of three modes of nature, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam, doesn't have any impact on Mahavishnu, Brahma or Lord Shiva. But because in these three forms, in order that the work to be carried out, they have accepted these three modes of nature. That's all it is. For creation purposes, Krishna has accepted this Brahma's role and accepted the Rajogunam for that purpose. For destruction purposes, Krishna has accepted that form of Shiva and eventually for annihilation through Tamogunam. And for the sake of maintenance this creation, to sustain this, Krishna has accepted the form of Vishnu and maintain this world through Sattvagunam. So from this you can understand that Sattvagunam should be cultivated more. Because you see in the Bhagavatam also in the beginning, that when you give Sattvagunam, if you give a form, that is Vishnu. That is how it is. If Rajogunam, if you give a form, that is Brahma. And similarly for Tamogunam, if you give a form, that is Shiva. So, and as Krishna mentions there, that in the Sattvagunam, Sattval Sanjayate Jnanam, spiritual advancement is possible in the mode of goodness, in Sattvagunam. That does not mean those who have served Lord Shiva, they did not develop Sattvagunam. There is worship of Shiva in Sattvagunam also. Even though he is a deity who is actually in control of Tamogunam. Tamogunam, he has accepted Tamogunam. Worshipping Lord Shiva in Sattvagunam is also possible. So, but always the process of worship should be Sattvagunam. Whoever one may worship, if the worshipping process is in Sattvagunam, that is what matters. It should not be Tamogunam or Rajogunam. Tamoguna Pradhanam or Rajoguna Pradhanam. That is where we make the mistakes. Then, so practically you can see, we engage in spiritual activities, but at the same time, we are chanting the holy name, engaging other spiritual activities also. But why is that we are not getting purified? Why are we not getting purified? Because our process is not sattvigam enough. That is the reason. Sattvagunam, even though we are doing activities, but because it's done in more in rajogunam and tamogunam, that is the reason why, even though we may be appears to be worshipping Krishna or worshipping Vishnu, still we are not getting purified because the process is still in rajogunam and tamogunam. So till we change our process, make it more sattvigam than rajasa tamasam, we are not going to have the effect. Not going to have the effect. These are the things to learn from this, in these stories in the Bhagavatam. That there is an importance this. Unless we understand it properly, if you just look at the story like this and think that, oh, Lord Shiva is always tamogunam, Mahavishnu beat him up and finished him up there. That's not how you study these stories. When you are reading these stories, you should understand the tattvam behind it. Why is it spoken in this way? There is a reason behind that. It is not to show one devata is higher than the other devata. Mahavishnu is higher than Shiva, Shiva is lower than Vishnu. That's not the idea behind it. That there you have to understand that these three different forms, Mahavishnu, Shiva and Brahma, they were accepted by Brahman. Krishna has accepted that form in these three different ways in order for three different purposes. Rajogunam for creation, and Sattvagunam for maintenance, and Tamogunam for annihilation. And these three entities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, exist like that. They are Krishna's another expansions in that way. So, so it is at that time that important thing is that because our process of purification, which is our process of worship, is not sufficiently sattvigam. It's not sattvigam enough. That is the reason why the results are not coming. Only there is sufficient sattvagunam inside, our spiritual activities will bear the results also. So, you can see here that if it is not sattvigam, if there is not proper sattvigam, sattvigam, rajasam, tamasam, if it is not sattvigam, even if you have gone to Vaikuntha planet, it's not going to help very much with the rajasic nature, with the tamasic nature. So till the purification has happened inside, even our process of worship also will not be effective, will not be effective. And from Mrigasura's story you can see, the person was totally in rajogunam and tamogunam, isn't it? What was the purpose in going to Vaikuntham? Came back, went back to the hellish planets, to the lower planets, is it not? To the lower planets he went back. So, Parikshit heard this description of this story, and when Srimad Bhagavatam was began, when it began, Sudha Goswami mentioned there, Edeja Amshagala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Edeja Amshagala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Now, you can see, the 10th canto is almost coming to an end. So, he got a doubt. There you said that you have to serve Krishna in the beginning, isn't it? Now, in this story, he's saying you have to serve Vishnu. You have to serve Vishnu. So, should I serve Mahavishnu or should I serve Krishna? This doubt came into Parikshit's mind. Parikshit's mind. And Shivabrahmashi says to Parikshit, who do you think this Mahavishnu is? We all have the same problem, isn't it? We all fight each other, argue each other about the forms. So many forms are there. Vastu is one. That's the main important thing to know. One vastu, according to modes of nature, we are calling Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu and all that. But vastu is one. Shivabrahmarshi says to Parikshit, whom do you think this Mahavishnu is? The same Krishna, whom you mentioned in the beginning, is sitting there in Vaikuntham as Mahavishnu. He's nobody else. He's nobody else. So to prove that is the next story. Which one? Sandana Gopalam. So the three stories here. Brigasura story, Bhrigu Pariksha, and Sandana Gopalam. Three stories to show, tell us, Trimurtis, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are all not different than Krishna himself. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, what did it say? Krishna himself sat in the lotus flower as Brahma and heard Bhagavatam. He spoke Bhagavatam, Brahma heard Bhagavatam. So Brahma is not different from Krishna. And in several pastimes in the Bhagavatam, you will see Krishna saying, nobody should think I am different from Mahadeva, Shiva. Not to think, and that thinking itself is offensive, he says. In Daksha story, you will particularly see that. That to consider Shiva is different from me is considered to be offensive. And the same thing again you will see in Banasura story also. So, in order to remove these doubts from inside, in the next story you will see that Eveja Amshakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, which was spoken in the beginning, is the same person who sits in the Vaikuntham as Mahavishnu. Vaikuntham as Mahavishnu. So that is the last story in that chapter. They are not different. And this Krishna is shown at the time of appearance also, isn't it? At the time of appearance, how did Krishna appear? Mahavishnu appeared first. To show that there is no difference. Mahavishnu, the four-handed form appeared in front in Vasudev. And then it moved on to Devaki Devi. Isn't it? Then if you look at the Avadaram verses, Krishna Avadaram, if you look at those verses, you will see there that there is no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. It's one and the same four-handed form. So, there is one more thing here that Krishna wanted to show to them that Mahavishnu and me, there is no difference at all. Therefore, sometimes you may think that Mahavishnu came as Krishna here. If you say like that, Vedavyasa Maharshi may not agree with that. But if you say that Krishna is sitting there in the form of Vishnu there, then Vedavyasa Maharshi is peaceful about that, satisfied with that. If you look into Avatara Shlokam, you will find this. That when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, there cannot be any contradictions from one to another. It has to accommodate everything. And that is why, if you look into that verses in the third chapter, that the verses of appearance, Tamal Budam Balagam Ambuje Kshanam, 9th verse, 10:3:9. Tamal Budam Balagam Ambuje Kshanam, Chaturbhujam Shangagada Yudhayudam, Srivalsa Lakshmam Galashobhi Kaustubam, Pidambaram Sandrapayoda Saubhagam, Maharhavairi Vaiduvira Kirida Kundalam, Tusha Parishvakta Sahasra Kundalam, Uddhamatan Jangada Kanganadibir Virajamanam Vasudeva Maitshada. Vasudeva did not see Krishna, Vasudeva saw Vishnu first. Is it not? So to show to us that Vishnu and Krishna are non-different. In Vaikuntham he sits there as Mahavishnu. In Golokam he sits there as Krishna with two-handed form. So to prove this, I'll tell you a story, says Shukha Brahmarshi to Parikshit. That is Sandana Gopalam story. Mahavishnu, Vaikuntham, all these things is Krishna's domain, where Krishna lives in another form there, Mahavishnu's form. And that is what he wanted to show. One Brahmana in Dwaraka, he had a son who died. As soon as he was born, he died. And he has heard Dwaraka was, Krishna was there in Dwaraka at that time. Brahmana has heard that his spiritual master's son died and gone away, and he has brought him back and given it to him. The Brahmana heard about that story, where Santivani Maharshi's son was died, and then Krishna went and brought him back from the higher planets. So, Brahmana took the dead body of his child and came to the assembly in Dwaraka and complained to Krishna about it. Krishna says, I can't do anything about this. Krishna says, I can't do anything about this. This is your prarabdham, what can I do? This is meant to happen like this. Maybe the child is only very short lifespan. Very short lifespan. What can I say? But Brahmana started arguing with Krishna. Brahmana says to Krishna, you went and brought back your spiritual master's son. Why? How did you do that? He says. Krishna says, that's not due to my ability. It is the blessing of my spiritual master has blessed me. That's why I was able to do that. Krishna says to him. So, like the way my spiritual master has blessed me and brought him back, if you bless me in the same way, then I will go and get him. Krishna says to the Brahmana. Then I can try. Otherwise I can't do anything about him. And saying all these things, he sent that Brahmana back home. Brahmana went back. Again, Brahmana's wife got pregnant, second time. Had the baby, but the baby was dead. Baby was dead. Again came to Krishna with the baby. Complained about it. Krishna didn't say anything. Already he has replied this before. So, one, two. Now there's third one, fourth one. Same thing kept on happening again and again. If it was us, after two or three times, if Krishna is not listening, what we would have done? Then we won't go to Krishna anymore, would we? But this Brahmana won't give up. He keep coming. Every time a child is born, it's dead. He'll take the dead body and come to Krishna and complain about it. Then, so, Krishna is not taking any serious note of it. It went on, 1, 2, 3, 4, like this, 5, 6, 7, 8, like this it went on. Sometimes, if you bring this into normal society, our society, so sometimes people worship Krishna, I should have a son with that. They pray to Krishna. So, when the wife had the baby, it was a girl. Then he says, I don't want to go to Krishna anymore. I don't want to go to Krishna anymore. So, this Brahmana had 7th, 8th time this has happened. But every time he went to Krishna with the dead body and mentioned to him, and he kept saying, if you want, you can give me back my child. But you don't want it. He kept complaining this. But you are not thinking like that. That's what the Brahmana's complaint was. Then Brahmana was so sure that if Krishna wants it, he can bring the child back. And then the 9th one. What happened? Look at the words. Tam 27th. 89 chapter. Parideen tam arjuna upashrutya karhi jilkeshavandige parete navame bale brahmanam samabhashata parete navame bale brahmanam samabhashata. That after the 9th child also dead, and the Brahmana is come to complain, and this has become a regular feature by now, a routine thing, that Brahmana will have a child and then after a couple of days the child will die, and when the child is dead, Brahmana will take the dead body and come to Krishna's assembly, and he will cry and complain to Krishna about everything. Not only that, he will complain, he will curse Krishna also. He will abuse Krishna. The Brahmana used to abuse Krishna. And that you can see that in the verse. Evam didiyam, 26th. Evam didiyam viprakshi tridiyam tuagamevacha visrajya sanarbadvari tam gadham samagayata tam gadham samagayata. It has become a regular feature that tam gadham samagayata, like a song. When you keep on repeating the same thing, it becomes a song, isn't it? So it has take become like a song for the Brahmana. So people started in the assembly, everybody was talking about this Brahmana who comes regularly with the dead body. So whenever they came, those who were in the assembly, they were saying, has that singer Brahmana had come with that? So because he was crying with his heart breaking way, in the heartbroken way, he was crying with the dead body in the hand. So all the members in the assembly gave him a name like this, the singer, Brahmana, like that. So, and he has got a particular tune in which he sings that song. What is that? saying to Krishna, Krishna, you never understand my distress in my heart. And only one who has got a thorn in his own feet will know the pain from that. Other person won't understand that. And you don't have any distress about losing your child, so therefore you won't understand my distress. In this way, he has made up a song about his distress, and he used to sing this regularly in the assembly. So, and interesting, more than interesting that, Brahmana has seen Krishna's life there in Dwaraka. 16,108 wives, 10 sons and a girl from each of those wives. So the news was coming all the time. Today 38 wives had a baby. Or 76 wives had a baby. Like that. Because 16,108 wives means, you can imagine, children are continuously born. Isn't it? And practically Krishna every day was a contamination period for him. He has to follow 10 days, isn't it? Krishna also has to follow. So for 10 days it's contamination for Krishna. So I am coming and telling you about the death of my one son. You won't understand that, would you? He says to Krishna. You won't understand. Because you are getting this news. 40 children were born, 60 children were born in the family. And how will you understand if I am losing one child? This was the Brahmana's complaint. And he also says to Krishna, people like you, when you are managing this country, this is what the whole problem is. This whole country has gone to dogs, he says to Krishna. So what all the Brahmana has spoken is endless things he has spoken. And this has become a repeated affair. But in Dwaraka, nobody was bothered. Dwaraka was in bliss with Krishna's family life, isn't it? But ninth child, when that was Parede Naume Balo, Brahmanam Samabhashada, he says, when he came there with the ninth baby dead and started crying like this, Arjuna was there. Arjuna got up from there. And Arjuna hasn't seen this before. He wasn't there before when all these things happened. He says to Brahmana, what's the matter? He says to Brahmana. And so many other great personalities were there in that assembly. And Arjuna says to him, this is not a place that you cry like this in front of so many people. Then if you have some problem, let me know what the problem is. Arjuna took the whole thing on his shoulders. So, and we are Kshatriyas. It's our duty to free yourself from any distress what you have. What is your problem? Brahmana looked at Arjuna's face. Who is this? I've been coming here for the last 10 years. Nobody has spoken to me in this way. No one has asked me like this. So Brahmana told the whole story to Arjuna. Arjuna says, is it like that? Arjuna says, I can't tell you anything about what has happened before. Says, still now, what has happened, I can't tell you anything. But if you have another child, I'll make sure that the child is protected, he says. And I'll make sure he doesn't die, he said. So Brahmana looked at him. Who are you? Brahmana says to Arjuna. Here there was Krishna, there was Balaram. These two personalities, they have not said this to me before. But what they can't do, they couldn't do it. That's why they didn't do it so far. How can I take it that you will be able to do that? Those words from the Brahmana hurt Arjuna very badly. Kshatriya, isn't it? Got upset very much. Said, and intention was to get rid of Arjuna's ego. That was Krishna's plan behind it. So, Arjuna says to Brahmana, Brahmana, you shouldn't offend people like this, speaking in this way. Because you are a Brahmana, I can't say anything more than that. But this is not the way you speak. And is there any rule in the world that Krishna and Balaram cannot do something, but Arjuna can't do it? Is there any such rule here? Arjuna was asking this Brahmana. Arjuna was asking this. My name is not Krishna. My name is not Balaram. My name is not Pradyumna or Aniruddha. You will see that. 33 verse. Naham sangarshano brahman. Na Krishna karshnirevacha. Aham va Arjuna nama. My name is Arjuna. You don't know. Do you? Aham va Arjuna nama. And you know? Gandivam yasyavai dhanu. The name of my bow is Gandivam, which you may have heard, he says to him. And my name is Arjuna, the middle of the Pandavas, the middle one among the Pandavas. You may have heard about that, he said. Even if you have not heard about me, you must have heard about my bow, Gandivam, isn't it? So, Brahmana thought, what is so special about your bow? Brahmana says to Arjuna, what is so special about it? That is why, in the next verse he says, Ma vamam sthamam brahman, viryam trambakatoshanam. Viryam trambakatoshanam. It is with this bow that I have pleased Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is pleased with me because of this bow. Because of this bow. Because normally, why Lord Shiva was pleased with that bow? Generally, people who worship Lord Shiva, they offer the water and flowers to him and perform dhara on his head, isn't it? Brahmana, with me it didn't happen like this. I have smashed Shiva's head with this bow. In the Kiradarjuniyam, in that story you will see when Lord Shiva and Shivarvati took the form of a hunter. There is a pastime with Arjuna. You can study that. That Mahabharatam also it comes. Where seeing Arjuna's heroic activity, Shiva had a fight with him. And in that process, Arjuna smashed Shiva's head with the bow, with this Gandivam. And Shiva says to Arjuna, don't beat again, he said to him, that not only Pashupatastram, which Lord Shiva has, I'll give you something beyond than that, he said. That is what he's saying there. Ma vamam sthamam brahman viryam trambagatoshanam mrityam vijitya pradhani aneshyate prajam prabho. Aneshyate prajam prabho. Trambagatoshanam. So, seeing Arjuna's courage and valor in that battle, that Lord Shiva was pleased with him and offered him Gandivam for him. And even if you are not convinced about all these things, if you are not satisfied with that, that if I could not protect your child, Agnim Praveshe, I will jump into the fire and kill myself. And I take that vow here, he said. When Arjuna was saying all these things, Krishna is sitting there on the throne. He is sitting there. Krishna looked at Arjuna and Krishna said, thought himself, Arjuna, your problem is only to take the vow, but to fulfill that vow, if you have taken a vow, to make that happen, it's my problem after that, isn't it? So, that is what has happened in the past also. In many times in the Mahabharata war, the same thing has happened. And same thing with all of us also. We will go and jump into some venture in this world, get involved in something, go and do something, and we'll get into trouble. Whose responsibility it is to take care of it? Krishna's problem. Isn't it? While jumping into some problem, we don't think about it. We'll go and do something and we'll get into trouble. But taking care of everything ultimately is Krishna's problem. Krishna's problem. So you can see that we find when we feel helpless in certain times that we are trying to do something, it didn't work out, everything gone wrong, in the wrong direction. Then we go to Krishna and say to him, take care of me, I'm in serious trouble. So the same thing. So that means without Krishna's support, any karma in this world also cannot go in the right way. It cannot happen that way. That is what it is showing here. So, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam a lot, at some point we will realize this. That is the benefit of reading Bhagavatam. If you keep on reading Bhagavatam, and these stories in the Bhagavatam will again and again prove it to you, to all of us, practically, that this mentality we will develop inside, that it is Krishna who is doing everything here, not us. That hangaram inside will dictate to us to go and jump into all kinds of ventures. We'll go and make commitments and all kinds of promises to people and unable to do it later. And then we start thinking, why did I do this? Why did I make that commitment? So this situation will happen. So that is why if you read Srimad Bhagavatam a lot, it will keep us our mind from such tendencies, that knowing very well that if Krishna is behind you, you can enter into a new venture. If Krishna is not behind you, based on your own ahangaram inside, if you go and do things, it can end up in difficulties, in problems, and then there is no point in complaining about that. So that is why he is saying here also, so Bhagavatam will help, because the purpose of studying all these different pastimes in the Bhagavatam is to make us aware where we stand in this world, our real position here. As I said before, that if Krishna wants to destroy us, he doesn't require any external help. From inside, he will turn our thinking power, our power of knowledge, power of action, everything will be twisted in such a way that we will go and do something wrong and destroy ourselves. Similarly, if Krishna wants to get us better, he will guide us from inside in such a direction that you will go and do such things that will elevate you in spiritual life. Both sides things are possible for Krishna to do by staying inside us. It doesn't require any external help from anywhere. So, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we will understand that, like this Arjuna's case, without thinking sufficiently, Arjuna goes and jumps into all kinds of promises and commitments to the Brahmana without knowing what he was doing. But Krishna is saying, Krishna knows very well, if Arjuna is the devotee, it is his problem later. It is Krishna's problem, not Arjuna's problem. It becomes Krishna's problem. Anyway, Arjuna gave this strong promise to the Brahmana, and Brahmana said, all right, Arjuna, I'll go home and then I'll come back to you later. And Arjuna could have asked Krishna at that time, what is the reason behind this? That there is nothing that you can't do. But why is this in this particular case that you have not helped this Brahmana? Arjuna could have asked that question. But Arjuna didn't ask Krishna that question. And Krishna also thought, Arjuna hasn't asked me, so why should I tell him? Krishna also didn't say anything to him. So, Arjuna would have asked me, Krishna's point was, Arjuna would have asked me that about this Brahmana, but the reason why he didn't ask me was because he doesn't want my help. He was solely confident himself. That's why he didn't ask me, isn't it? So let it be. So, that was his point. And anyway, Krishna knows when the time is right, he will come back to me. He'll come back to me. So both of them didn't talk to each other about this whole incident. After a few months, Brahmana comes back. 3 months or so. And Arjuna was still there in Dwaraka at that time. Brahmana's wife is pregnant. And so Brahmana says to Arjuna that my wife is pregnant and I'm expecting the baby. My wife is expecting the baby in certain few months later. So, Brahmana says to Arjuna, I'll come and let you know when she goes into labor, when the labor starts. So, after a few months, again Brahmana comes and informs Arjuna, my wife is in the, is expecting the baby, and immediately Arjuna took the bow and arrow and left, walked out from there. And Krishna was there at that time. Didn't say one word to Krishna. Didn't say one word to Krishna. So, Arjuna is thinking, I don't think I need anybody's help in this particular instance. So what he did, he got there, the ahangaram, Arjuna's ahangaram inside. He builds with the bow of arrows a whole cover for the where Brahmana's wife was staying and where the delivery was going to happen. So Brahmana's wife was having the baby there, and Arjuna stood out. Arjuna built this cover with the arrows and stood outside with the bow and arrow in the hand. And Brahmana was going inside, coming out, going inside. Brahmana was very busy with the wife's delivery. He'll go inside, see what's happening, comes back and says to Arjuna, Arjuna, this is the situation. Be very vigilant. What has happened previous 8-9 times, all Brahmana has spoken to him. So, Brahmana says to Arjuna, Arjuna, we don't know from which direction the death personified will come and take him away from here. So it used to happen after the delivery in a very short period of time. You should be very careful. Brahmana warned Arjuna again and again. Saying all these things, he will go inside. Brahmana will go inside. Then, baby was born. Nothing wrong with the baby. Baby cried and everything was normal. When they cried, do you know why the babies cry when it's born? What's the explanation? What does the science say about it? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, why not the baby laugh when it cries out? Why does it cry? That's why you should study third canto properly. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, while in the womb, when Krishna shows to us, all of us, our 100 lifetimes before, what we did 100 lifetimes before. And in that 100 lifetimes, various activities what we have done in different bodies, and the vasanas that is created, which has generated fresh bodies for us, birth after birth after birth. Seeing the miseries of material life and material bodies, this material existence, the baby in the stomach says to Krishna, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out. Not only that, Krishna gives us all the memory of all our previous lifetimes, and we feel so grateful to Krishna for making us aware of Krishna's presence to us. It is in the womb that the baby feels the highest gratitude to Krishna while inside. And when suddenly, when we are kicked out from the womb inside to outside, upside down when we come out, prasuti suti maruta, says in the Bhagavadam, what happens? That memory what we had while inside the womb, that's why it said it's like a yogi while he's inside. He's very much conscious of the presence of Krishna and the knowledge that Krishna has provided to the baby inside. When you come out, we lose the whole thing, what we experienced inside. Inside was a yogi inside, in the womb. But as soon as we come out, we lose that whole knowledge, what we had inside, and that is why we cry. Very perfect explanation in the Bhagavatam. Why the baby cries when the baby comes out. And we feel happy if the baby is crying. This is how we are. Is it not? If the baby has cried, we feel, oh, it has all gone very well. But the baby is not crying because any other reason. We are thinking other reasons, but actual reason, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, is because of this. That inside the womb, what you have experienced there is something highly valuable, which you will never get again. And as soon as that knowledge, that realization, that presence of Krishna, everything gives you such a happiness that you are willing to tolerate all the miseries while within the womb. You are willing to tolerate everything. Even though the place is not comfortable, the place is very unhappy state, but the knowledge and the awareness and exposure to the Krishna directly like that, the living entity is fleeing better place than leaving that knowledge and falling into ignorance. That's why when you lose that knowledge, that is the reason why the baby cry when it comes out. In the third canto, mentions this. So here also, the baby cried. Baby cried. Krishna was happy. The Brahmana was happy. The mother was also happy. So, and after that, a Brahmana came out and told Arjuna everything went very well. Baby is born. He said, and Brahmanas have to perform what is known as Jatakarma. So he wanted to bathe before, because for performing the Jatakarma ceremony, he has gone to bathe. It was at that time there was a cry from inside, from the room. And all Sutigyagraham, where the delivery was happening, other ladies were there to help the Brahmana's wife. Brahmana heard the loud cry from inside the room, came back running, hearing the noise. So the ladies there says to Brahmana that the baby who was born right now, that we have bathed the baby and put him in the put him on the bed, but baby has gone. You can see in the verse 39. Tatakumara samjato viprabhatnyarudan muhu sadyo darshanama pede sa shariro vihayasa. With the body, the baby has gone. With the body missing, gone missing. But if the baby goes like that, she'll go and hit the cover of arrows, isn't it? So Arjuna could not understand. No question like that. It doesn't work like that. All they have seen was the baby going in the sky and disappearing. That's all. Brahmana saw the whole thing. They were crying and they said this to Brahmana. Brahmana came out and looked at Arjuna. Arjuna says to Brahmana, has anything happened inside? He says, what was that crying all about? When he asked that, Brahmana got more angry when Arjuna said this to him. You have to remember, this Brahmana does not even hesitate to abuse Krishna. He didn't even hesitate to abuse Krishna. So you can imagine with Arjuna how much he cares, isn't it? So he says to Arjuna, so do you think that he will let Arjuna escape like that freely? So he says to him that when Arjuna asked, is there anything special happening inside? You know what Brahmana called him? Napumsakam. Shraddhade Kleeba Kathanam. Shraddhade Kleeba Kathanam. Napumsake. That means, in the... You're not allowed to say all that, isn't it? So... Anyway, he was said that is neither man nor woman. You are. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you are neither a man nor a woman. Nabumsakam. He says that it's my stupidity that I have taken your words seriously. You are neither a man nor a woman. He says, I have to be blamed for this. And go and jump into the fire. He says to Arjuna that another person shouldn't cry in this world, trusting your words. In this way, Brahmana gave a very, very, very thrashing words to Arjuna. And go right now, jump into the fire, he said. You can see Arjuna's that personality here. When Brahmana said like this, Arjuna didn't get angry with the Brahmana. Somebody must have taken the baby from here. Who is that? Arjuna wanted to find out. And somebody who can do that in front of me like this. Arjuna didn't get angry with the Brahmana for saying all these things. That whoever has taken this, I will give it a try. Myself go and find out. He says to Brahmana, Brahmana, give me some time. Give me some time. And I have promised you that I'll protect your child. I will protect your child. But, and if I don't, I'm not able to do so, I will jump into the fire. But let me give it one more try. Give me some time, he said. Took the bow, Gandivam in the hand, and with his yogic power, he went to Yamadharmaraja's planet. He goes there. And even Yamadharmaraja got up, got frightened seeing the way Arjuna had come. What's the matter, Arjuna? He says to Arjuna in a very friendly way. Yamadharmaraja has talked to Arjuna. Arjuna says to Brahmana, I have promised this to that Brahmana. And why did you bring him here? He says to Yamadharmaraja. Yama says to Arjuna, I haven't brought his child here. I haven't brought his child here. Then that Brahmana had 10 children. None of them had come here. Yama says this to Arjuna. And actually after Krishna's appearance, when Dwaraka, at the departure of Krishna, when Dwaraka goes underneath the water, and when Krishna goes back to his own abode, all these children are meant to go to the spiritual world. They haven't come here, said the Yama to Brahmana. And there's no point in looking for them here. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling the planet, and Krishna is present in this earthly planet, not one person had come to the Yama's planet. Nobody was there. When the Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling the planet and Krishna was present in Dwaraka, there was no question of anybody coming back to Yamadharmaraja's planet. The whole place is closed down. There was nobody there. There was nobody there. And Yamadharmaraja was very happy, nothing to do. Get the salary paid, and the whole day, nothing to do. Not one person in the hellish planets. Everybody was gone. But as soon as Krishna's departure happens, the whole situation changes. Now the place is so busy. Who? The hellish planets. It's so busy. All the workers and carpenters, everybody has gone there to build the hellish planets. To build the hellish planets. So you can't find anybody here, that's why. So new hellish planets they have to build, because new kind of hellish activities we are doing. So to put us into those places, they have to build a new hells also, isn't it? New hellish conditions they have to create. And because fresh, highly sinful persons are coming in, so you have to put them, they have to give them accommodation to get them through. So practically in the hellish planets, construction work is very busy at the moment. Full of builders doing, because they are expecting a lot from here on their way there. So Arjuna left the place and came back from there. And then he went to the heavenly planet. Arjuna goes to the heavenly planets. When he goes there, there is this Ashtadik Palas, who are in the eight directions, the keepers of Ashtadik Palas. He got there, they are not there either. Then Arjuna is not frightened still. He's not frightened to face death. That's not bothering him. But at least he wanted to do something for that Brahmana, and that was bothering him. So he decided finally, if I can't find him anywhere, what can I do? He set the fire up and he decided to jump into it. And a huge fire he set it up. He wanted to jump into that fire. And Arjuna bathed himself very nicely, and put the ashes, everything on his head, body, everything. You have to remember, Arjuna is a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva mentions himself in this Bhagavadam, that took the Gandivam and the arrows, everything, Pashupadastram, everything, altogether, he circumambulated the fire 3 times. And he's chanting the holy name of Lord Shiva as well. And then Arjuna wanted to thought about Lord Shiva very sincerely inside his mind of the form of Kiradamurti and wanted to jump into the fire. Remembering about Shiva's form, that matted hair, the moon on the head and Vasuki in the neck, all that form. And all over, Lord Shiva covered with the ashes. And then Arjuna circumambulating and finally wanted to go and jump into the fire. On the third time, when he was about to jump into the fire, from behind, Krishna held the hand, called Arjuna, wait a minute, he said. Says to him, that up to this time, Arjuna was thinking Lord Shiva's form. But when he looked, Krishna is standing there. When he looked, Krishna is standing there. And Krishna with a smile calls Arjuna back, says to him, and Arjuna knows very well, in his life, if there was any success, any time, not only Mahabharata war, in all other instances, the person who is responsible for all that is because of Krishna. He knows that very well. He could have said one word to Krishna before he took this vow. Now it is a bit too late. And he felt ashamed that he couldn't mention about this to Krishna at this time. Krishna has said about Arjuna, what? Virana Mahamarjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Among the heroic personalities, I am Arjuna. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So now, Krishna is saying, Arjuna, when everything is lost, you are coming to me now, aren't you? Why did you not ask this before? If Krishna says something like that, it will be a shame. It will be a shame for him. Better than that is to give up this body. And Krishna could have asked me this, what am I doing? But how, Arjuna, how you are going to deliver these babies to the Brahmana? He could have asked me this question. But all these things, thoughts are going through Arjuna's mind. But why Krishna did not ask that question? Because maybe Krishna is happy that I give up my body. This is how he thought. By now, Arjuna has completed all the 3 circumambulation of the fire. And inside that form is very strong. Initially it was Shiva's form. Now that form has disappeared and Krishna's form has appeared inside. And it is at that time you will see 46th verse. Darshaye dvijasunum ste ma vajnalpmanam alpmanam yete nakirtim mimalam manushyam stabayishyandi. That Krishna is saying that Arjuna was killed by Krishna and says to him, Arjuna, you have only promised him to give 1 child, isn't it? But I will show you all the 10 children, where they are. Saying this, don't jump into the fire. And because if you kill yourself, that's bad for me. It's a bad name for me. Took him into the chariot, put him there, and in a few minutes, they traveled in that chariot. They traveled through Loka mountains. Total darkness. Krishna asked the Sudarshana disc to appear, which showed the way to travel through, and eventually they reached Vaikuntha Lokam, Vaikuntha planets. They stopped the chariot outside, and Krishna Arjuna went inside into the Vaikuntha planet. There, Mahavishnu is sitting there on the bed of Adishesha. And normally, these different forms of Mahavishnu, there are dhyana shlokam for meditating on that particular form of Vishnu. 400 form, 800 form, in this way. Sitting posture, lying down Adishesha. They are all different poses in the deity worship. And there are verses written by the great personalities on that. So while worshipping that particular form, they use that dhyana shlokam for that. So, You won't find this Mahavishnu in the 800 form in the meditation mood for meditation purposes. So, anyway, Mahavishnu was sitting there. Why eight hands? That question will come, is it not? Why was the 800 form shown there? Reason being, Mahavishnu wanted to hand over all the 10 children at the same time. So with the 8 hands, 8 children, and Mahavishnu's 2 wives, Bhudevi and Shridevi on either side, they were carrying one each. So 8 plus 1 Bhudevi and 1 Shridevi, total 10. So all the 10 children were brought together in front of Krishna and Arjuna. Mahalakshmi was carrying one and Bhumidevi was carrying the other. And the other 8 children were in the 8 hands of Mahavishnu. So, Mahavishnu handed over 8 and Mahalakshmi and Shridevi, Bhumidevi also handed over 1 each. So, Krishna and Arjuna fell down and paid their obeisances to Mahavishnu. By the Mahavishnu. So, actually Krishna has arranged with Mahavishnu that everything should be like this, in this way. So, this particular dhyanam of this form of Mahavishnu, when Krishna came there, Mahavishnu got up from there. So, Krishna says to Mahavishnu, sit down, don't get up. Sit there. And, among the human beings, people are thinking that Mahavishnu, that including Arjuna, that Krishna is just an incarnation of Vishnu. That is how many people have thought about it. So, the actual situation, you can see there that that if we say this to Arjuna, that Krishna is the source, original of all incarnations, Arjuna will go back and say to everybody, when Krishna got there, even Mahavishnu is getting up from the seat and offering their respects. So, and they will start saying about Krishna more things here. Krishna didn't want that. He wanted to leave it like that. So, so that is what is shown here. And then Mahavishnu sat there on the Adishesha, and Mahavishnu says to him, to Krishna and Arjuna, I wanted to see you both here, coming here. That is why I brought these children here. I'm happy that you had come both, and you should also come back after finishing relieving the earth from its burden, and you can take these children now. So, 8 of them Mahavishnu handed over, Bhumi Devi and Mahalakshmi handed over one each. And Arjuna says to the children that, do you not want to see your father and mother? To these 10 children. As soon as they heard Arjuna's sound, voice, they ran away from there. They didn't even stay. They went inside to the rooms. They didn't want to come out. So only 2 of them were there. Remaining all other 8 is gone inside. Mahavishnu is not saying anything. And Arjuna says to Krishna, why is it like this? That they are all running away when I asked them about it. That when I wanted to take them, they are all running away. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you don't know how to handle the children, do you? You're not used to it, are you? That, that is why Krishna is not like that. 16,108 wives and 10 children from each, and used to look after all these children. That is Krishna's experience in the householder life. That is why Krishna is called Trilogi Grihastaya Vishnu Namaste. Trilogi Grihastha, the name you will find in the 1000 names of Vishnu also. Trilogi Grihastaya Vishnu Namaste, that is his position. So Arjuna says to him, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you go and call them. I will stand here and see if they come or not. So again Arjuna goes to them and says to them,
Do you not want to see your father and mother? Then, when Arjuna started calling like this, they were saying, where is that person who had come to take us away from here? And Krishna was standing there, smiling there, and they were immediately started coming towards Krishna at that time. Similarly, why is this story now in the Bhagavatam? What did Arjuna say there? That Arjuna is saying that they brought all the 10 children back from there. In a similar way, that Krishna and Arjuna has gone there to bring the children back. Children are hesitant to come back. When they saw Krishna, they were a little bit hesitant to come back. And in equally, all of us in this world, those who are absorbed in enjoying this material life here, Krishna has come here to take us away from here. That is why Krishna came here, to get us out from here. We are saying to Krishna, please don't take us away from here. Keep us here. This is our approach, isn't it? That is what we think about it. And that is what this story is saying also. That one important thing is that if Krishna looks at us with that eyes, one day we will also feel inspired to go back to spiritual world. At the moment we don't feel that desire to go to the spiritual world. We are comfortable here. We don't feel that desire. Why? Because Krishna has not given us that thoughts inside yet. That's our misfortune. So, they put all the children in the chariot, and the last one, the 10th one, which Arjuna has promised, that baby is in Krishna's hands. And Krishna has put everybody inside the chariot, all the 10, other 9. Arjuna is there. Krishna also sat in the chariot. And Arjuna had the 9th one. Krishna had the 10th one. And everybody else is sitting in the chariot, and the chariot arrived back in Dwaraka. And they arrived in the Brahmana's house, where the Brahmana was living. They stopped the chariot. Arjuna took the 10th one and went inside, and Brahmana saw with the child in the hand. Brahmana was in a shock. Brahmana thought Arjuna has gone and killed himself by jumping into the fire. He says to Arjuna, come. He says, taken him inside. But he says to Arjuna, I called you by mistake, napumsakam, isn't it? Forgive me for that. Brahmana says to Arjuna that Brahmana is a pure-hearted person, isn't it? Arjuna doesn't take it very seriously because he didn't mean anything. That Brahmana puts the seat for Arjuna to sit down, and Arjuna says to Brahmana, I got delayed a little bit. You have to forgive me. He says, I got delayed a little bit. Brahmana took the 9th child from him, and Arjuna handed over the child to the wife. Arjuna handed over the child to the wife. And then and Brahmana got up from there and then crying says to him that both together, Brahmana and the wife together, blessed Arjuna. Together they blessed Arjuna. Because seeing this, the person who got maximum satisfaction was that it was Arjuna. Because now Krishna has not come inside the house. Only Arjuna is there. Krishna said, let the credit goes to Arjuna. Krishna wanted Arjuna to be blessed, not him. Even though Krishna has done everything. It was after this, Arjuna came out to the chariot, and then Krishna hands over all the children one after the other. Brahmana felt very happy about it. And so one after the other, 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, everything. All the 10 children, one after the other, was handed over. Why was not all the 10 children given at the same time? Krishna wanted, if you give all the 10 at the same time, Arjuna will only receive the blessings once. But instead Krishna wanted that Arjuna should be blessed 10 times by the Brahmana. And Krishna still stood there behind the chariot as the charioteer. And after the 10 children were delivered, Krishna went up to Arjuna smilingly to him. And at that time, Brahmana and the Brahmana's wife together, they didn't know what to say. They were crying due to their happiness inside. All the children had come back. And Krishna says to the Brahmana like this, that I have heard everything when you came to Dwaraka and complained about this. And if I wanted, I could not have brought your children back. That is the reason I kept quiet. But how come Arjuna could do this? Arjuna is qualified to do that, Krishna says to the Brahmana. And nobody else has that qualifications. Because Arjuna by nature, if he decides something to do, he'll make sure it's done. And when Arjuna was saying all these things, Arjuna is looking at Krishna. Is he talking about me? All these things. And Arjuna's feelings at that time for Krishna, in a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam, Arjuna says that. Arjuna's feelings towards Krishna. You can see that verse. It's a very well-known verse. And this is what that verse, whole story is about, this particular verse. What was that? 63. Nishamya Vaishnavam Dhamma Partha Paramavismitaha Yelkinjil Paurusham Pumsam Mene Krishnanukam Bidam. It's a very important verse. What does it say? Nishamya Vaishnavam Dhamma Partha Paramavismitaha. Arjuna was in tremendous excitement about this whole thing. Then, Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pumsam. What is my ability? Arjuna is thinking. What ability do I have? If I have any ability in my life, if I had shown, and even in this incident, Mene Krishna Anukam Bidam. Krishna is behind it, therefore this happened. And this is necessary in life to show to us. That anything anybody does in this world, no matter who does what, behind that, unless it is sanctioned by Krishna, it cannot happen. That is why Arjuna made this mistake few times before. But every moment Arjuna forgets that, and then again Krishna puts him through another situation to make him aware that Krishna is behind it. Yel kinjil paurusham pomsam mene krishnanukambidam. Without Krishna behind me, I couldn't have done anything in this world. Arjuna was glorified in the Mahabharata war for his position, isn't it? As the best fighter, heroic activities, greatest personality in the war. But in spite of all that, Arjuna was eventually had to recognize this. Yel kinjil paurusham pumsam mene krishnanukambidam. If Krishna is not behind me, none of this can happen. Again and again you will see this happening in Arjuna's life, isn't it? So, after that, Bhagavatam is finishing now. There is almost the end of the 10th canto. And we also have to look at this 10th canto. What do I have to get from this 10th canto? 10th canto is that, that to realize this, without Krishna's sanction, nothing happens in this world. Naspandidumabhi. That means if you are breathing, if this air has gone out, if it has to go in backwards again, Andaryami sanction is required. Otherwise that will not happen. To convince us that point, In the 10th canto, you can see all these things. That only thing is, we will have to develop that eyesight, that vision in our life to see things in that way, which we don't easily have, is it not? So, that is the conclusion of this 89th chapter. Yet kinjit paurusham pumsam mene krishnanu kampidam. That without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen here. Nothing happens here. There is only Krishna here. Present as Sandaryami inside, he is conducting different things through different bodies, what he does. And without the presence of Sandaryami, even breathing is not possible. Food digestion is not possible. Hands cannot move, legs cannot move, we cannot speak, we cannot think, we cannot act. So what is going on here in this world? It's nothing but Krishna who is present here. That is what 10th canto is teaching us. Like he saw from beginning, Dhrumaraj said this, isn't it? Yonda pravishya mama achamimam prasuptam sanjeevayatyagila shakti dharya sudhamnam anyamscha hastam charana shravana tugadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. Again to convince us, Krishna is not somebody who is sitting far, far away from here, in some planet somewhere waiting for us and judging us from there. He is present right here in each and everyone's heart as the Andaryami present, conducting every day, every second, our affairs in this world according to his plan. It is working. That is why from you can see this difference. Why Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is so different from all other scriptures in this world? It is this. It is not talking about a God sitting millions of miles away somewhere else. Right here, right inside of every living being, not only human body, even in the trees, in the plants, in animals, insects, birds, bees, everywhere, in every living entity, who is present there? Krishna is present there. And through these different bodies, allowing us to function in a particular way according to his plan, not our plan. That's what happens. As I said in the beginning, even to think, we don't have the freedom to think about something. Is it not? Thoughts are coming without asking us. We didn't invite those thoughts. That's why sometimes bad thoughts comes to us. We don't want the bad thoughts comes, because when the bad thoughts comes, it disturbs our mind. But bad thoughts are coming without our knowledge. So what freedom do we have? Similarly, and these bad thoughts, when they come, sometimes it finishes with the mind. Sometimes it will come out in the form of words to others. Is it not? Even there we don't have any freedom. It will come out natural way. You can't control it. There is no control. Who is controlling it? Or sometimes the same thoughts can turn into action in some form, giving trouble to others, disturbing others. So whether it is through thoughts, through words, or through action, in either three of these, it all is controlled completely by the Andaryami inside. That is why in Bhagavadam, this one point, if we have got it from the 10th canto, looking at all the different situations and different pastimes, if one can learn this one message from 10th canto, we have got some feeling for the 10th canto. We got understood something from there. That is why Arjuna is learning the lesson in different ways. Arjuna learned the lesson in different ways. And many other devotees also are learning different lessons at different times. But this one important lesson, Krishna is present in every living being, in the heart as living entity, as Andaryami, and conducts the life of every living being in this world all the time throughout this life. No way, no question at all. So, only thing is that praying that to Krishna is more important. That realization is more important. With that we will finish the 89th chapter. Now we will read the two chapters, 90th chapter and also the first chapter in the 11th canto. So, let's continue that. Navaditamodhyaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Shukavaja Sukham Somuryam Nivasan Dwaragayam Shriyapadi Sarvam Samba Samruddhayam Jushtayam Vrishnipungavai Stribishchottamaveshabir Navayavvanakanthibi Kundugadibi harmyeshu kridandibi stadidyubi nityam sangala margayam madachulbir madangajai sulangradir bhadeira shvai rathaishchakana gojjulai ഉദ്യാനോപവനാധ്യായം പുഷ്പിതദ്രുമരാജിഷു നിർവിശൽ ഭൃംഗവിഹകേർനാദിതായം സമന്തന രേമേ ഷോഡശസഹസ്രം പത്മീനാമേകവല്ലഭ താവത് വിചിത്രരൂപോസോ തദ്ഗൃഹേഷു മഹർദിഷു പ്രോത്ഫുല്ലോത്പലഹൽഹാരം കുമുദാം ഭോജരേണുഭി വാസിദാമലദോയേഷു കൂജദ്വിജകുലേഷു ച വിജഹാര വിഗാഹ്യാംബോ ഹൃദിനീഷു മഹോദയ കുചകുങ്കുമലിപ്താംഗം പരിരബ്ധശ്ചയൂഷിതാം ഉപഗീയമാനോ ഗന്ധർവൈ മൃദംഗപണവാനകാൻ വാദയദ്ധേർമുദാ വീണാം സൂതമാഗതവന്ധിഭിഃ സിച്യമാനോ ചിതസ്ഥാബർഹസന്ധി വിസ്മരേചകൈ പ്രതിസിഞ്ചന്മിചിക്രീഡേയക്ഷീഭിരക്ഷരാടിവ താ ക്ലിന്നവസ്ത്ര വിവൃതോരുകുജപ്രദേശാസിഞ്ചന്തി ഉദ്ധൃതബൃഹൽകബരപ്രസൂന കാന്തം സ്മരേ ജഗജിഹീരഷയോ ബഗുഹ്യ ജാതസ്മരോത്സവല സദ്വദനാ വിരേജോ കൃഷ്ണസ്തു തത്സന വിഷജിത കുങ്കുമസ്രക്രീഡാ വിഷംഗദുത കുന്തള വൃന്ദബന്ധാഃ സിഞ്ചന്മുഹുര്യവതിഭി പ്രതിഷിച്യമാനോ രേമേ കരേണുഭിരിവേഭി ഇവേഭവതി പരീത നടാനാം നർത്തകീനാം ച ഗീതവാദ്യോപജീവിനാം ക്രീഡാലങ്കാരവാസാംസി കൃഷ്ണോ ദാതസ്യ ജസ്ത്രിയ കൃഷ്ണസ്യൈവം വിഹരദോ ഗത്യാലാപേക്ഷിതസ്മിതൈ നർമ്മശ്വേളി പരിഷ്വംഗൈ സ്ത്രീണാം കില ഹൃദാധിയാ ഊജുർമുകുന്ദേ ഗതിയോഗിന ഉന്മത്തവജ്ജടം ചിന്മയം ദ്യോരവിന്ദാക്ഷം താനിമേ ഗദദശൃണു മഹിഷ്യ ഊചു കുരരി വിലപസിത്വം വീതനിദ്രാനശേഷേ സ്വപിതി ജഗതിരാത്രയാമീശ്വരോ ഗുപ്തബോദ വയമിവ സഞ്ചി കച്ചിൽ ഗാഢനിർഭിന്നചേത നളിന നയനഹാസോദാരലീലേക്ഷിതേന നേത്രേ നിമീലയസി നക്തമദൃഷ്ടബന്ധുസ്ത്വം രോരവീഷി കരുണം പഥചക്രവാക്കി ദാസ്യം ഗദാ വയമിവാച്യുതപാദജുഷ്ടാം കിം വാ സ്രജം സ്പൃഹയസേ കബരേണ ബോഢം ബോഭോ സദാ നിഷ്ഠനസേ ഉദന്യം അലബ്ധനിദ്രോധിഗത പ്രജാഗര കിം വാ മുകുന്ദാബഹൃദാത്മലാഞ്ചന പ്രാപ്താം ദശാം ത്വാം ചഗദോ ദുരത്യയാം ത്വം യക്ഷ്മണ ബലവദാസി ഗൃഹീതമിന്ദോ ക്ഷീണസ്തമോ നിജഭീതി വീക്ഷിണോഷി കച്ചിന്മുകുന്ദഗതിദാനി യഥാ വയം ത്വം വിസ്മൃത്യഭോ സ്ഥഗിതഗീരുപലക്ഷ്യസേന കിന്ത്വാ ചരിതമസ്മാഭിർമലയാനി വദേ പ്രിയം ഗോവിന്ദാ പാംഗനിർഭിന്നേ ഹൃദീരയസി നസ്മരം മേഘശ്രീമം സ്തുഭസി ദൈതോ യാദവേന്ദ്രസ്യ നൂനം ശ്രീവത്സാംഗം വയമിവ ഭവാൻ ധ്യായതി പ്രേമബദ്ധാഃ അത്യുൽക്കണ്ഠശബളഹൃദയോസ്മദ്വിദോ ബാഷ്പധാരാ സ്മൃത്വാ വിസൃജസി മുഹുർ ദുഃഖദസ്ഥൽ പ്രസംഗാഃ പ്രിയരാവപദാനി ഭാഷസേ മൃതസഞ്ജീവികയാനയാ ഗിര കരവാണിക്ക് മദ്യതേ പ്രിയം വദമേ വൽഗീതകണ്ഠകോകില ന ചലസി ന വദസ്യുദാര ബുദ്ധേ ക്ഷിതിതര ചിന്തയസേ മഹാന്തമർത്ഥം അഭിപദ വസുദേവനന്ദനാ ഖിം വയമിവ കാമയസേ സ്തനിർവിധർത്തും ശുഷ്യധ്രതാ കൃഷിതാ ബന്ധസിന്ധുപത്യ സമ്പ്രത്യവാസ്തകമലശ്രിയമിഷ്ടഭർത്തു യദ്വദ്വയം മധുപദേ പ്രണയാവലോകം അപ്രാപ്യമുഷ്ടഹൃദയ പുരുകർഷിതാസ്മ ഹംസസ്വാഗതമാസ്യതാം പിബപയോ ബ്രൂഹ്യംഗശൌര്യേ കഥാം ദൂതം ത്വാം നു വിദാമ കച്ചിദചിദ സ്വസ്യാക്തമുക്തം പുരാ കിം വാ നശ്ചല സൗഹൃദസ്മരതീതം കസ്മാത് ഭജാമോ വയം ക്ഷൗദ്രാലാഭയകാമദം ശ്രിയമൃതേ സൈവൈകനിഷ്ടാസ്ത്രയാം ഇതി ദൃശേന ഭാവേന കൃഷ്ണേ യോഗേശ്വരേശ്വരേ ക്രിയമാണിന മാധവ്യോ ലേഭിരേ പരമാം ഗതിം ശ്രുതമാത്രോപിയ സ്ത്രീണാം പ്രസഹ്യാകർഷതേ മന ഉരുഗായോരു ഗീതാവ പശ്യന്തീനാം കുതപ്പുന യാ സമ്പര്യജരൻ പ്രേംന പാദസംവാഹനാധിഭി ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭർത്തൃബുദ്ധ്യാ താസാം കിം വർണ്യതേ തപ ഏവം വേദോദിതം ധർമ്മം അനുതിഷ്ഠൻ സദാം ഗതിം ഗൃഹം ധർമാർത്ഥകാമാനാം മുഹുശ്ചാദർശയത്പദം അസ്തിതസ്യ വരം ധർമ്മം കൃഷ്ണസ്യ ഗൃഹമേധിനാം ആസൻ ഷോഡശസാഹസ്രം മഹിഷ്യശ്ച ശതാധികം താസാം ശ്രീരത്നഭൂതാനാം അഷ്ടോ യോ പ്രാഹുദാഹൃദാ രുക്മിണീ പ്രമുഖരാജം തൽപുത്രാശ്ചാനുപൂർവശ ഏകൈകസ്യാം ദശദശ കൃഷ്ണോ അജീജനദാത്മജാൻ യാവത്യമാത്മനോ ഭാര്യ അമോഘാഗതിരീശ്വര തേഷാം ഉദ്ദാമവീര്യാണാം അഷ്ടാദശ മഹാരഥ ആസന്നുദാരേശസ തേഷാം നാമാനി മേ ശൃണു പ്രദ്യുമ്നശ്ച അനിരുദ്ധശ്ച ദീപ്തിമാൻ ഭാനുരേവ ച സാംഭോ മധുർബൃഹദ്ഭാനു ചിത്രഭാനു പ്രകരുണ പുഷ്കരോ ദേതബാഹുശ്ച ശ്രുദേവസുനന്ദന ചിത്രബാഹുർവിരൂപശ്ച കവിർ നിഗ്രോധമേവ ച ఏషామీ రాజేంద్ర తనుజానా మధుద్విష ప్రద్యుమ్నమాసీర్ ప్రథమా పితృవద్రుక్మిణీ సుద సరుక్మినో దుహితరముపయేమే మహారద తస్మాల్సుదో అనిరుద్ధో భూమ్ అనిరుద్ధో భూ నాగాయుధ బలాన్యుద సచాభి రుక్మిణ పౌత్రీం దౌహిత్రోజగృహే తథా వజ్రస్వస్యావద్యస్తోమౌసలాదవశేషిద అల్పాయుషో అల్పవీర్యాశ్చ అబ్రహ్మణ్యాశ్చ జజ్ఞిరే యదువంశ ప్రసూదానాం పుంసాం విఖ్యాత కర్మణాం సంఖ్యాన శక్యతే కర్తు అపి వర్షావిదే నృప తిస్రగోట్యా సహస్రాణాం అష్టాశీతి శతాని చ ఆసన్ యదుకులాచార్య కుమారాణాం ఇది శ్రుతం అసంఖ్యానాం యాదవానాం క కరిష్యతి మహాత్మనాం యత్ర ఆయుధానాం ఆయుధరక్షేణాస్తే సాహుగ దేవాసురాః వహదా దైతేయా యే సుదారుణ తేజోల్పన్నా మనుష్యేషు ప్రజాదృప్తా బభాదిరే తద్నిగ్రహాయ హరిణా ప్రోక్తా దేవాయ దోకులే అవదీర్ణా కులశతం తేషామేకాధికం నృప తేషాం ప్రమాణం భగవన్ ప్రభుత్వేన అభవద్ధరి ఏ చానువర్తినస్తస్య వవృదు సర్వయాదవ శయ్యాసనాటనాలామ క్రీడాస్నానాదికర్మసు నవిదు సందమాత్మానం వృష్ణయే కృష్ణజేదస తీర్థం చక్రే నృపోనం యదజనీయదుషు సస్సరిల్పాదశౌచం విద్వేడ్ స్నిగ్ధస్వరూపం యురచితపర శీర్యదర్తే న్యయత్న ఎన్నామా మంగళగ్నం శుతమదగతిదం యల్కృదో గోత్రధర్మం కృష్ణా సైతన్న చిత్రం క్షిదిపరహరణం కాలచక్రాయుధస్యాం జయది జననివాసో దేవగీ జన్మవాదో యదువర పరిషట్ స్వేర్ధోర్భిరసన్న ధర్మం స్థిరజర వృజినగ్నం సుస్మిత శ్రీముఖేన వ్రజపర వనిధానం వర్ధయన్ కామదేవం ఇత్థం పరస్యం పరిక్షయాథ లీలాదనో సదన రూప విడంబనాని కర్మాణి కర్మకషణాని యదూత్తమస్య శ్రూయాదముషపరయో అనువృత్తిమిచ్చన్ మర్త్యస్తయాను సవమేధిదయా ముకుంద శ్రీమల్ కథా శ్రవణకీర్తన చిందయేతి తద్ధామ దుస్తర కృతాంధ జవాపవర్గం గ్రామాధ్వనం క్షితిభుజోపి యయుర్యథార్థం శ్రీమద్ భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పరమంశం సంవిధాయం దశమస్కందే ఉత్తరార్ధే శ్రీకృష్ణ చరితానువర్ణనం నామ నవతితమోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ శ్రీమద్భాగవతం ఏకాదశ స్కంధః ప్రథమోధ్యాయః శ్రీ పాదరాయణి ఉవాచ కృత్వా దైత్యవదం కృష్ణస్య రామో యది బిభృత భూవోదారయద్భారం భజ్యవిష్టం జనయన్ కలిం ఏ కోపి దాసు బహు పాండుసుదాసపత్నే దుర్ద్యూత హేళనగజ గ్రహణాదిభిస్తాన్ కృత్వా నిమిత్తమిదరేదరదస్సమేనాన్ హత్వా నృపాన్ నిరహర క్షితిభారమీష భూభార రాజప్రదనాయ యదిభిర్నిరస్య గుప్తే స్వబాహుభిరజిందయద ప్రమేయ మన్యే వర్ణేర్ననిగదోప్యగదం హి భారం యదాద్యవం కులమహో అవిషహ్యమాస్తే నైవాన్యద పరిభవోస్య భవేల్ కదంజిల్ మల్ సంశ్రయస్య విభవో నహనస్య నిత్యం అంధకలిం యదుకులస్య విధాయ వేణుస్తంభస్య వన్యమివ శాంతి ఉపైమి ధామ ఏవం రసిదో రాజన్ సత్యసంకల్పమీశ్వర శాపవ్యాజేన విప్రాణాం సంజహ్రే సుగలం విభో స్వమూర్త్యాలోకలావణ్య నిర్ముక్త్యాలోచనం నృణాం గీర్భిస్తా స్మరదాం చిత్తం పదైస్తానీక్షదాం క్రియా చిద్యకీర్తిం సుశ్లోకాం విదతి హ్యంజసానుకౌ తమోనయ తరిషన్నీత్యగాల్ సంవదమీశ్వర రాజోవాజ బ్రహ్మణ్యానాం వదాన్యానాం నిత్యం వృద్ధోపసేవినాం విప్రశావ కదమభూల్ కృష్ణీ వృష్ణీనాం కృష్ణచేతసాం యన్నిమిత్త సవైషాభోయాదృశో ద్విజసత్తమా కథమేకాల్పనం వేద ఏదల్ సర్వం వదస్వ మే శ్రీశుకవాచాం బిభ్రద్వూ సకల సుందర సన్నివేశం కర్మాచరన్ము విసుమంగళమాప్తగామ ఆస్థాయ ధామరమమాణముదార కీర్తి సంహర్తుమైచదగులం స్థితకృత్యశేషాం కర్మాణి పుణ్యనివహాని సుమంగళాని గాయ జగత్ కలిమలాభహరాణి కృత్వా కాలాల్పనాని వసదాయుద్దేవగేహి పిండారకం సగహయన్ సమగమన్ మునయో నసృషాః విశ్వామిత్రో అసిత కన్నో దుర్వాస భృంగురంగిన కశ్యపో వామదేవో అత్రిర్వశిష్టో నారదాదయ క్రీడందస్థానుపవ్రజ కుమార ఇదు నందన ఉపసంగృహ్య వప్రచు అవినీతావినీతవల్ తే వేషై స్వా స్త్రీ వేషై సాంబం జాంబవదీ సుతం ఏషా పృచ్చది విప్ర అంతర్వత్న్యసిదే క్షణ ప్రష్టం విలజది సాక్షాల్ ప్రభ్రూధామోఖ దర్శన ప్రసోష్యంతి పుత్రగామా కింసిల్ సంజనయిష్యది ఏవం ప్రలబ్ధామునే స్థానుజు కుపిత నృప జనయిష్యది వో మంద ముసలం కులనాశనం తచ్చుత్వా తేది సంద్రస్త విముచ్య సహసోదరం సాంబస్య దదశోస్తస్మిన్ ముసలం కల్వయన్ స్మయం కిం కృతం మందభాగేర్న కిం వదిష్యందియో జనాః ఇది విఖలిదా గేహాన్ ఆదాయ ముసలం యయో తచ్చోపనీయ సదసి పరిమ్లానముఖశ్రియ రాజ్ఞమావేదయాన్ చక్రౌ సర్వయాదవసన్నిధౌ శ్రుత్వా మోహం విప్రశాపం దృష్ట్వా చ ముసలం నృప విస్మితా భయసంద్రస్త బభూవుర్ద్వారగౌగస తచ్చూర్ణయిత్వా ముసలం యదురాజ సమాహుగ సముద్రసలిలే ప్రాస్య లోహం చాస్యావశేషితం కశ్చిన్ మత్స్యోగ్రసీ లోహం చూర్ణాని తరలైస్తదా ఉహ్యమానాని వేలాయం లగ్నాన్యాసన్ కిలైరగ మత్స్యోగ్రహీతో మత్స్యజ్ఞర్జలే న్యాన్యే సహార్ణవే తస్యోదరగదం లోహం సశల్యే లుబ్ధగోగరా భగవాన్యా సర్వార్థమీశరో విదన్యత కర్తుం నైచల్ విప్రశాపం కాలరూప్యన్యుమోదది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పారమహంస్యాం సంహితాయాం ఏకాదశ స్కందే ప్రథమోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సో విల్ హావ్ ఎ బ్రేక్ నౌ చేదో దర్పణమర్జనం భవమః దవాగ్ని నిర్వాపణం శ్రేయకైదవ చంద్రియా వితరణం విద్యావధూ జీవనం ఆనందాంబుదివర్ధనం ప్రతిపద పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాత్మస్వమనం వరం విజయతే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నియమితా స్మరణేన కాలం ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాభి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజని నానుభాగాహం ప్రణారభీషు నీచేన తరోరభీ సహిష్ణునా అమానినా మానదేనా కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి నమ్న జనం న సుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాత్ భక్తిరహే దుగిత్వై ఐ నందదనుజకింగరం పదిదమహం విషమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజస్థితదూళీ సదృశం విచిందయ నయనం హలదశ్రుధారయా పదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిరా పులకర్నిజితం కవావపౌ తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగత్సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం ఫినిష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం అర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తదా వా విదదాద్విలం పటు మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్వన ఏవనాపరా సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద టెన్త్ క్యాంటో ఫినిషెస్ దిస్ 90th చాప్టర్ దట్ ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ 10th canto, where you have seen Krishna's different personalities, different aspects of Krishna's personality, what you have seen in the 10th canto, through the pastimes in Vrindavanam, pastimes in Mathura, and pastimes in Dwaraka, in Dwaraka. So, you will mention there, see there, that the end of 10th canto means a person who has heard Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, who have read it seriously, who have discussed it seriously, analyzed it properly, that person at the end of this 10th canto is, the door for him is open to the, for liberation, for mukti dwaram abhavratam. Says mukti dwaram. Mukti dwaram means the door for mukti, liberation is open for that person. That means the door for liberation is open to that person. That is how normally this end of 10th canto it is spoken. That once you have come to the end of 10th canto, more or less that person is ready for liberation because he has studied Bhagavatam well, very well. So, what does that, why he is ready for liberation? Because he has got complete control on the mind. Mano nirodham. There is a total control on the mind. Has happened to him. It's meant to happen after the 10th canto. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavadam, 10th canto, you have seen, we were all waiting to hear the appearance of Krishna. In the first 2-3 chapters, it's about the appearance of Krishna, isn't it? So, 10th canto begins with that, and then slowly it progresses, Krishna's appearance, Krishna's childhood, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's youth, and then dealings with different devotees all the way through. Beginning with the mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Vasudevan Devaki, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, then the gopis with Radharani. Like this, a whole series of devotees appearing one after the other. And you can see there that as you get more and more inwards in this process of 10th canto, studying 10th canto, what will finally will happen is, as began in the first canto, as it's so spoken, Vidyade Hridaya Granthi. Remember that verse? Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. Kshiyande Chasya Karmani Drishto Evalman Ishware. That's the process. First of all, the Hridaya Granthi is broken. Vidyade Hridaya Granthi. Secondly, all the doubts also has to disappear from inside. If you have studied Bhagavadam properly, if you have read it many, many times, and if you have heard it many, many times, if you have scrutinized it properly within yourself, why Bhagavadam is saying all these things? Bhagavadam is not just coming and sitting and listening for a few hours. You have to do some homework also. Homework is that you have to read and think about all these things. Why is it said like this in the Bhagavadam in different places, in different ways? Because Parikshit is asking questions, Vidura is asking questions, and these two personalities, Shukabrahmarshi and Maitreya Maharshi, answers all those questions, isn't it? In different levels, it is spoken. So, therefore, Vidyade Hridaya Granthi. First of all, if you have properly scrutinized Bhagavadam, and you have given time and energy to study Bhagavadam properly, this Hridaya Granthi breaks away first. Hridaya Granthi means basically the Ahangaram. Ahangaram will go. We know that we are not doing anything. Krishna is doing everything. That understanding will come. That is the breaking of Hridaya Granthi means. Breaking of Hridaya Granthi means, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, will go. Krishna is the doer, Krishna is the enjoyer. This conviction will come to the heart properly. That is Vidyade Hridaya Granthi. Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. Doubts about the truth will go. At the moment we have it, because of our conditioning only, it is nobody's fault. We start thinking, this religion says like this, that religion says like that. And in Vedic religion also, there is so many complicated way of presenting things. But actually there is no complications. Complication is due to our conditioning. It's not due to the fault of the truth. Vedavyasa Maharshi has presented Bhagavadam to us to remove all these doubts from inside. Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. So, but that removal of doubts is a gradual process. It is not question and answer. You study Bhagavadam and you progress through Bhagavadam on a daily basis for some time, then you will know that from the instructions from Krishna, instructions from Krishna's devotees and the rishis, your doubts will also start disappearing one after the other. That's the way it goes. It will get clarified at some point in time. And you also notice that actually there is only Krishna here, there is nobody else here. That's why Ekadasha Skandam, if you read in the beginning, it's totally devastating to the person when he reads it. Some of the things what Krishna says to us there. Krishna is saying to us, your body is not real. Krishna is saying to us, the world is not real. All these statements, to understand them properly, you got to go through whole Bhagavadam first. Otherwise it will be a shock to anybody for that matter. So at a certain level in life, you will understand the importance of those statements. At a certain stage in life. So as you progress, as you will know, Vidyade Hridaya Granthi, Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. Gradually all the doubts also disappear. Then what else happens? when you have understood all these things, clarified and got clear in self, kshiyante chasya karmani. Karmam also will drop one day, because karmam created all this problem in the beginning. Is it not? Through karmam only karma vasana developed. And through karma vasana, we have created the body. And from one body it started, it developed further, more and more bodies, one after the other. So, who is behind it? The karmam. So, chiyande chasya karmani. Karmam also has to stop. But at the moment, if you say to somebody, stop all the karmam, it's not going to happen. Because vasanas are inside, vasana will act, you can't do anything about it. So, vasana is such a powerful thing inside a person, that till vasana kshayam happens, karmam won't stop. First of all, vasanas has to stop. The vasana is prompting us to act in a particular way. That is not going to stop. That is very, very difficult. By telling somebody, look, don't do this, don't do that, it's not going to stop. You will get up in the morning, go to run to the work, because you have to make the money. That vasana is strong inside. That cannot stop easily. So, in a certain stage, certain rules apply. That is how you have to understand in the spiritual life. At a certain stage, certain rules apply. As you progresses, when there is sufficient knowledge, sufficient vairagyam inside, sufficient jnanam, sufficient vairagyam inside, rules change at that time. That is why you will look at Krishna talking to Uddhava and Arjuna, two different personalities, in two different ways. Not one rule for Arjuna and one rule and same rule for Krishna. To Arjuna, Krishna says, go and do your work. Why? The vasana is inside. To Uddhava, Krishna says, don't do anything from now. Vasanas have gone. Krishna knows that. So, it is up to us, Andaryami from inside. Krishna is inside every one of us. At the right time, Andaryami will tell us, enough is enough now. Stop this working business. To come out of it. At that time, you can leave the work. But, when Andaryami tells you, do work now, so that the vasanas goes away, you have to continue work. But with this knowledge, you have to work. That is more important. When Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, Mam anusmara yudhyacha, isn't it? Knowing well, Andaryami is doing all the work through Arjuna's body. In that consciousness, if Arjuna executes that work, his vasanas will get drained out one day. And he will come to the same level as Uddhava. Uddhava's situation, you can see, whole life, 110 years he spent with Krishna. Did everything what Krishna has told him to do. And a stage came in Uddhava's life that he is so purified that he has no more karmam to perform in this world. It is at that time in Ekadasham what Krishna says to Uddhava. So, while studying Bhagavatam also, you have to look at it this way. It is not a law book given to us. What Bhagavatam is doing to us is, it's opening up a whole world to us, the spiritual world, in a way like this. That, look, this is your position in this world. You are a conditioned jiva here. Jiva means ahangaram is there. Ahangaram means vasanas are there. Vasana means kartrutvam is there, bhoktrutvam is there. Ragam is there, dvesham is there. These are all present in us, all of us. When this is the situation, how to wipe out all the vasanas from inside, kartrutva bhoktrutvam from inside, ragadvesham from inside, there is a process to follow. And that process is what is spoken in the first 9-10 cantos. And through that, the control of the mind as well. Ragadvesham has gone, kartrutva bhoktrutvam has gone, vasanas have gone. So, here, coming back here, the 10th canto that is like this, that by the time you discuss this 10th canto properly, and properly if you have understood Bhagavatam, a stage comes that you are not anymore concerned about the different questions and doubts and all other kinds of things. Because I mentioned so many times before, questions are coming from the mind. It is not much more than importance than that. Questions are coming from the mind. And the process in the Vedic system is not answering questions. That we have to keep repeatedly saying this. And if you have read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam seriously, you can see Arjuna is asking a question. Krishna is not even answering the question. Arjuna could have stood and told Krishna, you're not answering my question. He stood there. Why is that? Why is this system in the Vedic traditions? Because in Vedic literature, mind is not given such an important thing. Mind is only a headache. It's only causing you problem. It puts all these questions to you, and you are keep on asking these questions everywhere. You get answer, and then what does the mind do? It will create another 10 questions. You asked only one, you had only one doubt before. Now you've got 10 doubts after that. So you can see from that itself, this question-answer business is not the solution to the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. You will keep on, whole life you will be asking questions. And life you will be getting answers. But at the end you will have more questions than before when you started. This is how it's going to end up. Those who are asking questions. Because it is our unfortunate situation that we have been taught like that. You should ask questions. Isn't it? Asking questions is supposed to be intelligence. They say that asking questions is a sign of intelligence. That's alright as far as physics and chemistry is all concerned, but not with spiritual life. That's a misunderstanding. The understanding in the Bhagavatam is, you hear and then let that knowledge go in and slowly clean up inside and your doubts will go. That's why it says like this. Vidyate hrade grandhi chidyande sarva. This chidyande sarva samshaya did not happen by asking questions. It is by hearing that all the doubts were cleared. Not by asking questions. So, a certain stage that we will realize this also, that lot of things spoken about religion and spiritual life in various textbooks and all kinds of literature, isn't it? One book says like this, one book says something else. But no matter what the book says, leave that all alone, leave it behind. What have we realized at the end? That's what matters, is it not? What Bible says, or Gita says, or Quran says, or any book says, what does it matter? At the end, what do you realize at the end? That matters. That's what matters. And that is why Bhagavad Gita says to us that once you have realized something, you can put the Bhagavad Gita into the bin as well. Because as far as Shastram is concerned from the Vedic point of view, the importance is only up to the extent that it takes you to realize the truth. Once you have realized the truth, then all other things, Shastram, Guru, Sadhana, temples, worship, everything what you do, it has no significance. It has nothing to do with the truth because you have realized the truth, what the truth is. Truth is a very exclusive thing. So that is why Villumangalam says about Krishna like this. It is his statement in the Karnavratam that my truth, my realization is this form what I am seeing in front of me. Nothing more than that. All Upanishads, everything is finished for me with this form of Krishna. And Villumangalam says to Krishna, why are you running around without even a cowbean, wearing a cowbean? Whole Brahman has come in this form in front of me. And Brahman has no clothes, isn't it? Brahman doesn't wear any clothes. Clothes is when you have a form. So Krishna, Villumangalam says to Krishna, are you still in the Brahman form? Or that's that why you don't have any clothes on the body? It's all there. Karnamrutam, you will see these words. That atyanda bala madasi kusama prakasham digvasasam kanaga bhushana bhushidangam. Digvasasam means no clothes on. Digambara dress. No clothes like our Rishabhadev and Jatabharata and others. No clothes on the body. Digvasasam. But he says, Krishna says, you got but all the jewelry on your neck, but no clothes on. Does any mother dress a child like this? No clothes on, but all jewelry in the neck, nicely dressed, nicely put the jewelry. Kanaka bhushana bhushidangam vitrastakesham ayadaksham krishnam namami manasa vasudeva sunyam. This is my everything for me. Because Villumangalam's realization is that Krishna, who is seeing it like that. Visrastakesham arunadharamayataksham. That curlish hair, black hair, visrastakesham, Arunadharam Ayadaksham, that reddish lips of Krishna. Krishnam Namami Manasa Vasudeva Sunam. Vasudeva son, I pay my obeisances to him. So there Vilimangalam says to Krishna, you are just in your Brahmam form now, without any clothes on, isn't it? So we have to also look at it this way, that in the Patanjali says this in the Yoga Sutra, that Yoga Chittavritti Nirodham. Chittavritti Nirodham is called Yogam, isn't it? That means all Chittavritti means thought waves. No more thought waves inside. Which means what? The mind has completely come to a standstill. It's not working anymore. Chittavritti, mind means what? Mind is nothing but Chittavritti. There is no place called mind in the body. Where is the mind? Nobody knows, isn't it? So Patanjali says to us that Chittavritti Nirodham is Yogam. If there is no Chittavritti inside, it is called Yoga state. Yoga state. And from Patanjali's view, if you look at it, when you come out of the Annamayam, Pranamayam, if you have broken up all these things, Manomayam also if you have broken, then what is the next stage? Vijnanamayam. Isn't it? That means you are ready for knowledge. You are ready for the knowledge. That means as long as you have a mind working side by side, when you are hearing anything from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, the mind will definitely create problem for you, because it will start raising questions. Mind will receive some message and mind will start evaluating and analyzing it and start thinking, well, why is it like this? Why not the other way? So many questions mind will raise. And if you keep on satisfying the mind, you will get stuck there. You will not go into the Vijnanamayam side. That is why you have to be careful also with the mind. Annamayam is the body. Okay, body, you know where to leave the body. At some point in time, the body will go on its own. Pranamayam is the pranam that is operating within the body, keeping the pancha pranam, the five pranams. Yeah, what is that? The pranan, apanan, apanan, vyanan, samanan, udanan, all the five different airs, they have got different functions. And that keeps this functioning of the body properly. And once you have gone beyond these two, then you are into the manomayam stage. This manomayam is a thing which creates a lot of problems for everybody. Because from manomayam only these doubts are generated. And these, you are, all the right questions are coming from there. If you allow that to grow too far, they will become an obstacle for you in your own progress, because Vijnanamayam will not enter. That is why they say, when you are hearing particularly Bhagavad Gita and Ekadashi Skandam, one should learn how to shut everything down, shut it down, shut the mind down, shut the intelligence down, shut all other senses down. And if you hear, the message will be penetrate inside, it will go karnanadi chinati, directly into the heart, rather than going and disturbing in the mind. It gets stuck in the mind otherwise. So, here, yoga chittavritti nirodham. Chittavritti nirodham is yogam. And 10th canto is mano nirodham, which is not different. So, Patanjali calls it as chittavritti nirodham. Vedavyasa Maharshi calls it as mano nirodham. Where is the difference? There is no difference. Mano nirodham, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, and Patanjali says chittavritti nirodham. It is one and the same thing. And then Upanishad says, you will see there, that Kathopanishad says this, that all senses are exit windows opening outwardly. Is it not? It opens outwardly. It doesn't open inwards. It opens outwardly. That famous verse, Paranjikani. There's a verse in the Kathopanishad. Paranjikani begins with that. What it says is that we have been, this body has been created in such a way that inside this body, Krishna gets inside, isn't it? You know, in the third canto, Krishna says, I got inside, and then everything started functioning. Pranam started working, senses started working, mind started working. In the third canto, if you look, you will see. Nodadishtatadaviraj, nodadishtatadaviraj, nodadishtatadaviraj. Number of verses, one after the other. In the third canto. So, and then, when Krishna got inside, Salilal Udatishtada, Viral Purushan got up. You remember that? I'm sure at least you would have noticed that verse's beauty. Continuously saying, Nodadishtatadaviraj, Nodadishtatadaviraj. And and finally, Virat Purushan. Virat Purushan means in the Samashti form, creation. It got up, it says, Salilal Udatishtada, when Krishna got inside. Salilal Udatishtada. So, when he created us in that way, when we were created in that way, this body, Krishna's created in that way, we were not given much choice in all these things. When Krishna designed this body, were we consulted? We were not consulted, were we? And every one of us are different in our body. Our body is different, our mind is different. Our vasanas are also different. So, I think that's too late. Much earlier than that. Yeah. 26, right. Yeah, you see there, verse 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69. All of them is saying that when Akshini, this is the process of creation. We'll look at these cantos later, when individually we take these chapters and discuss it. For the moment, if you understand, this much is sufficient. He's saying, Akshini Chakshushaditya Nodadishta Tada Virat, Shrotrena Karnauja Disho Nodadishta Tada Virat, Tum Romabiroshadyo Nodadishta Tada Virat, Redasa Shishna Mahabastu Nodadishta Tada Virat, Gudam Murti Ravanena Nodadishta Tada Virat, Hasta Vindro Belegneva Nodadishta Tada Virat, Vishnur Gateva Charano, Nodadishta Tada Virat, Nadir Nadyo Lohidena, Nodadishta Tada Virat, Chutrubhya Mudram Sindhu, Nodadishta Tada Virat, Kradayam Manasa Chandro, Nodadishta Tada Virat, Buddhya Brahma Abhi Kradayam, Nodadishta Tada Virat, Rudro Abhimatya Kradayam, Nodadishta Tada Virat. Different senses started functioning when the different predominating deities entered into our senses. Different predominating senses, different predominating deities entered into our senses. That is what that verses are saying. It is 326, 63 onwards to 69. Six verses. How the eyes were open. Eyes start got its power. Akshini Chakshush Aditya. Aditya, Surya, Sun is the predominating deity of the eye. He entered, but eyes did not function. Eyes did not function. Shrotrena Karnauja Disho Nodadishta Tada Virat. Similarly, the predominant deity of the ears, they entered inside, they didn't function. Similarly, Snishnam Udaram Gudam Matyu Astav Indro Belaneva Nodadishta Tada Hands, legs, Vishnur Gatyeva Charano. Vishnu is the predominant deity for the feet. He entered inside, it didn't work. It didn't work. Chutrubhya Mudaram Sindhu Nodadishta Tada Virat. Hridayam Manasa Chandro Nodadishta Tada Virat. After all the senses, their predominating deities entered, it didn't work. And finally, the moon entered into the mind, because moon is the predominating deity of the mind. Hridayam manasa chandro. Still it didn't work. Nodadishta tada virad. Buddhya brahma bi hridayam. For the intelligence, Brahma is the predominating deity. Brahma entered inside and still it did not work. It did not work. Rudro abhimatya hridayam nodadishta tada virad. Lord Shiva is the predominating deity of the ahangaram inside. He had entered inside as ahangaram, still it didn't work. Then what happened? Chittena hridayam chaitya kshetrajna pravishadyada virartadaiva virusha salilal udatishtada. When Krishna entered inside into chittam as Vasudeva, it is Vasudeva entered, everything came into action. Ahangaram functioned, buddhi functioned, mind started functioning, senses started functioning, all the knowledge senses started functioning, all the action senses started functioning. Everything came into action. Salilal udatishtada. So, in there you can see that our senses are able to function, but only it can function outwardly, isn't it? It can go to sense objects and make contact with the sense objects and enjoy the sense objects. Send the message to the mind that this is what I have done, enjoy yourself now. The senses will do that to us. Say for example, if you are taking nice prasadam, senses enjoy and senses says to the mind, prasadam is nice and mind is forms an opinion inside. So, but these same senses, if you tell them to look inwards, they won't. It will go outside and look at everything for wherever it can gratify. But if you tell the senses, go inwards and look inside what is happening, it is incapable of doing that. It has been created like that. But Krishna is saying that he has created all these things like this and tells us, turn all the senses inwards, he says. So you can imagine the situation is like that. So if one is able to do that, turn inwards the senses, then the whole process becomes a lot easier. So that is why in the Bhagavatam what you find here is that when we talk about Mano Nirodham or Chittavritti Nirodham, whether it is Patanjali says or Vedavya says or Maitreya Maharshi says or Shukha Brahmarshi says, ultimately these senses have to go inward looking. It cannot stay outside. And so, and you can see this while reading Srimad Bhagavatam also, if the attention is not on the vastu inside, if the attention is in the world, and if you read Bhagavatam, it will not have any benefit from that. You won't have any realization from that. That is why while reading Srimad Bhagavatam also, the senses should be under control. It should not be wandering around in the world, and then if you read Bhagavatam, that vastu, you won't get it, what is spoken about. So therefore, to look inwards is an important thing while reading Srimad Bhagavatam. To go inwards and start looking inside is an important part of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So, even while in the temple also, when we go and visit the temple to see Krishna there at the temple, before the temple is open, the curtains are open or the doors are open for having the darshanam of Krishna, our thoughts are going elsewhere. We are thinking, oh, I have to think about Krishna only when the door is open. Is it not? But different devotees, if you look, some devotees will be focused, they will prepare themselves before they see Krishna. But others, they will be busy with their mobile phone till the curtain opens, texting somebody, because before the curtain opens, I have to text to somebody something. So this is our state of consciousness, is it not? So you can understand, a person who has that state, he is not ready for it yet. His mind is so disturbed. Chittavritti Nirodham has not happened to him. Whereas when you go to see Krishna, first thing he is thinking, I got my IG phone to take the photo. What are you looking at Krishna for? What is his understanding, these people who are doing all these things? What have they understood about Bhagavatam? What have they understood? They think Krishna is standing there so that I can take a good photo of him. Is it? Is that what they have understood? Is that why they're doing all this? It shows that state of consciousness inside. Hasn't understood much. Before we see the deity, you got to prepare yourself to see the deity. That means withdraw from all the senses, the mind, and fully focused on what you're going to see. That Antaryami, whom if you have understood there is an Antaryami inside, that is what you're going to see in the form outside. And if you're not seeing that, you're not seeing Krishna, you're seeing something different. You're seeing something, oh, these saris, the best saris from Vrindavan somebody has brought and gave it to Radharani, and the nice cake they have made for, with all the Valentine's Day for Radharani from Krishna, Valentine message. Where is all this coming from? What is the understanding there? Is it not? You got to ask that question. That people have all kinds of things going through their head. One starts with the mobile phone, another one comes straight away. And then followed by another one. So whole morning you see people are busy with this photographing business. Krishna's photo. One photo, okay, you have taken. But every single day, this whole thing is repeated again. He thinks he has come to the temple, only to take the photograph and go home after that. He's finished his business. So, in that level, what do you do? What do you say to this person? He should hear Srimad Bhagavatam and understand what is Krishna means. When there is no understanding, we will do all kinds of nonsensical things like this. And then we will think, we are also part of the team. We are also doing our bit. Whatever. So this is an unfortunate thing. Anyway, coming back to this, that, okay, if you have seen Krishna like the way Vilumangalam has seen, and he wrote it down in Krishna Kanavam, that's a different story. But if this is the way we see Krishna, that is why, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will notice something in the 10th canto, what Krishna had to say. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 33rd chapter, there is an important statement there about these things. That, chapter 33, if you look into the verse 37, Anugrahaya bodhanam manusham dehama astida bhajadeta drishi krida ya shrutva talparyo bhaved. The purpose of rasa dance there at the end, Shuka Brahmarshi makes a statement about Krishna like this. We have to see Krishna through Shuka Brahmarshi's eyes, not with our mind. If you start seeing through your mind, you will do all these kind of things. Photographing and I don't know. So here, thing is, Shuka Brahmarshi's eyes. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to us, Anugrahaya Bhudanam Manusham Dehamastida Bhajade Tadrishi Krida Ya Shrutva Talparyo Bhave. He's saying, only out of compassion, Krishna allows us to see Him. Anugrahaya Bhudanam. Allowing us to see Him. What? Manusham Dehamastida. He has taken this human form and came in front of us. Is it not? He accepted this form and came in front of us for our benefit, not for Krishna's benefit. For our benefit, He has accepted that form and came in front of us. Whereas if you start comparing personalities and start thinking, you will start thinking, Ramachandra also says the same thing. So we'll start comparing between Krishna and Ramachandra and say, who is higher, who is lower. This problem will come in every personality if you start analyzing that. That's why it is said that all the incarnations, appearances in front of us is all for our benefit. We don't have to worry a lot about who is who. That's not our worry about the moment. Anugrahaya bhudanam manusham deham astida. Then what else it says there? Bhajadeta drishi kreda ya shrutva talparyo bhavel. Bhajadeta drishi kreda. That these pastimes what Krishna has performed here, by absorbing in that, what will happen? Ya shrutva talparyo bhavel. Somehow or the other, you will get attached to the truth, Krishna. You will get attached to the truth, who is Krishna. The Krishna, which is the truth, you will get attached to that. Ya shrutva talparyo bhavet. Para means that superior truth behind Krishna. What it is that? The one you have to get attached to. Ya shrutva talparyo bhavel. That is why, anugrahaya bhudanam Manusham dehamastida bhajade tadrishi krida ya shubhva talparo bhavel. That is the goal of all these things, and that is why it is mentioned here also that that we become interested in Krishna. We become not the way our mind tells us to get interested, but the way Shuga Brahmarshi is telling us to get interested. You shouldn't get attached to Krishna like the way our mind tells me to get interested. Mind is telling like this, that you go to Krishna, take a nice photo, and then say to Krishna, you got a very nice dress today, you got a nice garland today. What is that understanding? That is one understanding, yes, through the senses what you have seen there, isn't it? Or nice garland Krishna has put on. Sometimes devotees will say like that, Krishna's got a very nice crown today, nice jewelry today, things like that. This is all external, isn't it? But Shuga Brahmarshi is not telling us to look at the external and go home after that. No. Anugrahaya bhudanam manusham dehamastida bhajade tadrishi krida ya shutva talparyo bhavel. How you will get attracted to the truth, Krishna, behind it. All these things. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam has spoken like this. That yashutva talparyo bhavet. Talparyo means what? What is that tatva? Tat means satyam param dhimahi. What Bhagavatam has begun in the beginning, isn't it? So Dashamaskandam, the 10th canto, the purpose of this 10th canto was to open up our eyes in the proper way. So in that way, Chittavritti Nirodham happens, control of the mind happens, and that mind, when it is completely under control, then it is ready for liberation. It is ready for liberation. That is why you will see in the 11th canto what did happen. The beginning itself was Mukti Dwaram Apavritam. Mukti Dwaram Apavritam. That Egadasham begins like that. That Mukti Dwaram Apavritam it is. That it is open up the door for liberation. Opens up the door for liberation. It will come somewhere. We'll see that. Mukti Dwaram Apavritam. That Mukti Dwaram Apavritam. Egadasham says that the doors are open. For that person who has got a complete control of the mind, that earlier, if you remember in the first canto, if you look into the 15th chapter, Arjuna mentions there about his life with Krishna. Remember that? About his life with Krishna. He says there that one fifteen nineteen. When Arjuna came back from Dwarka after Krishna's departure, when he was saying these things to Yudhishthira, what did he say? Shaya sanadana vigatthana bojanadi aikyadaya sekhadavani diviprabdha sakhyu saheva pidruvatana yasya sarvam sehe mahan mahidaya kumade rakhamme. Arjuna is saying, this is how my relationship was with Krishna. Shayasanadana vigatthana bhojanadi aikyo advayasya kadavani devi pralabdha sakhyu sakheva pidurvartana yasya sarvam sehe mahan mahidaya kumate rakhamme. Then, at that stage, he said that he was my best friend, Arjuna says about Krishna. And we used to walk together, holding our hands together, and even Arjuna had such a close physical relationship with Krishna. Physically in the sense that physically they were very close friends. But even at that time, when that relationship also became a problem in the Chittavritti Nirodham, Krishna cleared that to Arjuna. Do you remember that how? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there what happened. When Arjuna is saying all these things and lamenting about Krishna, Arjuna realized that when I had the same problem in Kurukshetram, what did Krishna do to me? Krishna spoke to me Bhagavad Gita. And now I am lamenting like this, with this thought about my friend Krishna. Isn't it? This is completely a material thing to talk about Krishna this way. That he is thinking Krishna was my friend, we slept together in the same room, And then we ate together, we went for walks together, we were friends all the time in various things. On that friendship level, Arjuna is thinking about Krishna. And is lamenting about Krishna now that Krishna is gone. It is at that time, Krishna says to Arjuna, what did I tell you when you were having the same problem in Kurukshetram, in the battlefield? The same problem Maya has taken over like that. That I couldn't kill any of these people because they are related to me, they are my teachers. At that time, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? That knowledge, what was necessary, you can see in the verse 30. Gidam Bhagavadajnanam Yatal Sangramam Urdhani Kalam Karmam Tamoryuddham Punaradhyagamad Prabhu. Krishna had to bring back the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita back to Arjuna second time to wake him up from that ignorance again. Because in ignorance, we develop very easily, we can fall into this illusion all the time. Thinking that I am this body, Krishna is that body, and we are friends, and we have been together, we enjoyed life together, we were happy together. Krishna says, at that time, that was a chittavritti that has come to Arjuna, like that. And he was getting affected by that. At that time, what happened? Gidam Bhagavadajnanam. The knowledge of Bhagavad Gita saved him. Knowledge of Bhagavad Gita saved him. Gidam Bhagavadajnanam. Yatal Sangrama Murdhani. Brought him up from that illusion, from that, isn't it? So, similarly, in that way, Krishna saved Arjuna at that time. Because Arjuna was in a disaster state when Krishna left. He was completely shattered after Krishna left to Dwaraka. And he came back to Yudhishthira and he started crying in front of Yudhishthira. Because on the way back, what happened, which you all know, that the cowherd boys came and stole away all the gopis, all the Krishna's wives, everything were taken away. And Arjuna thought, I am so useless. And then I couldn't fight and beat them and take protect them. But actually, they had come on Krishna's instructions from the spiritual world. They have come and taken them back to the place where they came from originally. Whatever it is, Arjuna felt useless totally. So he comes to Yudhishthira and says to him, that what has happened to me when Krishna was here, my life was like this. Everybody is calling me the greatest hero in this world, Arjuna. I beat so many people in the Mahabharata war and in other many instances as well. How he won Draupadi in the Swayamvaram in the kingdom, Draupada's kingdom. So, whether it is Arjuna, no matter who it is, whether it is Arjuna or if it is the gopis, Radha Devi and other the gopis, or if it is Balram, or if it is Bhima, or if it is Arjuna, no matter who it is, if there is a problem, chittavritti, thought wave problem for any of them, Krishna is capable of removing that problem. He will take it away from that person. Everybody, gopis also had problem. What was Gopi's problem? Gopi's problem was this. Krishna left Vrindavanam and went to Mathura. Gopis thought, life is finished now. There is nothing to look forward to in life. What did Krishna do? Krishna sent Uddhava. Krishna deliberately didn't go back. And sent Uddhava there to instruct gopis about transcendental knowledge, which he did in the Brahmaragidam and all. You can see that spoken. And Uddhava came and opened their eyes and started realizing Krishna is not that form what I was thinking about. Krishna is a very Antaryami who is within our heart all the time present. They got a realization of that after Uddhava left, went back to Mathura. But still, Krishna was not satisfied. Krishna wanted gopis to realize there is no question of separation from Krishna any time. And that is why in Samanda Panchakam, when all the gopis came with Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj and everywhere, Krishna took them separately and taught them proper knowledge of the self to them. To make them aware that hankering and lamentation and all is a symptom of the mind. Isn't it? Soul does not hanker. Soul does not lament. So if you are feeling hankering and lamentation inside, that means the mind is working. That means chittavritti is there inside. When there is chitta vritti, it is not possible to understand the message of Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita for that matter. So that is why here you can see, when the chitta vritti problem came for Radha Devi and all other gopis also, Krishna had to send Uddhava, and eventually Krishna had to instruct himself to the gopis. You remember? We just read that in the last chapter. Remember? That in the chapter before, at the end of that chapter, what did Krishna do? Krishna says that was that is in the Samanta Panchakam, after the, yeah. After the incident at Samanta Panchakam, when the sacrifices were performed, and finally, gopis and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they were all going back, isn't it? They were all going back to Vrindavanam, going back to Vrindavanam. It is prior to that. If you look at chapter 82, chapter 82, what was that instructions? Krishna is saying, Shri Shukavacha, verse 48 in 82. Adhyalpa Shikshaya Gopya. Adhyalpa Shiksha. Instructions on the knowledge of the self. That is Adhyalpa Shiksha. Who we are. Making gopis aware who they are. Adhyalpa Shikshaya Gopya. Evam Krishnena Shikshita. Krishna himself directly teaching them. And Tada Anusmaran Advasta Jiva Koshastha Madhyagan. Remembering that knowledge, what Krishna has instructed them, it has affected them, and with that, dvastha jiva koshastha madhyagan, that jiva bhavam left them. Jiva bhavam left them. So, every time you will see this in the Bhagavadam, that when it was necessary, this message has to be given in the proper way. Krishna has done this to Arjuna, Krishna has done this to Uddhava, Krishna has done this to the gopis, Krishna has done this to everybody. Everybody. So, normally, if there is a problem, that means, if there is any kind of hankering, lamentation in a person, more or less you can say the mind is working. That's why it's hankering and lamentation comes. Arjuna's problem was Krishna has left. So he was hankering after that. And when Krishna removed that chitta vritti from inside, through Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna fell back into the normal state again. He got back his strength back. So, this 10th canto's purpose is to give this message to everybody very seriously. That this is how Bhagavatam works. If you look at that in the 90th chapter, if you look at that verse 48, what does it say? That Jayadi Janani Vasom Devagi Janma Vado Yeduvara Parishad Swair Durbirasyanna Dharmam Stirajara Vrijinagnam Susmida Shri Mukhena Vrajapura Vanitanam Vardhayan Kama Devam. Glorifying Krishna for what? Jayadi Janani Vaso Devagi Janma Vado Yeduvara Parishad Swair Durbirasyanna Dharmam Stirachara Vrajinagnam Susmida Shri Mukhena Vrajapara Vanidanam Vardhayan Kamadevam. That Krishna has succeeded in that mission in this 10th canto. That is Krishna's mission. Krishna's mission is to stop this chittavritti inside us and to put us into our real identity of the self. And that is why it is saying here, Jayadi Janani Vaso, that one who, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, he has won. Jayadi Janani Vaso. And Devaki Janma Vado Yaduvara Parishatsvet Dorbirasyana Dharmam. That proper dharmam is when we realize who we are, is it not? Otherwise, what is the dharmam in this world? So, in that process, Tira Jaravrajinagna Susmita Shri Mukhena. If you remember, this is all very subtle things that Krishna has spoken there in the Shukha Brahmarshi. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there is a verse here, Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Remember that? Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaya Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet. So, practically, what does that mean? Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the success of Krishna. Krishna's success. Krishna's success it is. Why? Through these pastimes, and having spoken about through these pastimes, Shukha Brahmarshi, through the power of those Krishna's activities, succeeded in Parikshit Maharaj breaking up from the Chittavritti. All Chittavritti of Parikshit has stopped completely and established Parikshit in his realized state. And in that, Krishna has succeeded through Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what that Jaya Jaya Mudirayet means. If you read the words and read the translation, you won't capture the message. Message is too deep. And the verse is only few words. The message is too deep. The same verse you will see in the Mahabharatam also. Narayanam Namaskritya Naranjayo Narottamam. We recite that verse thinking that we have paid our obeisances to Narayana. Translation is there, isn't it? Saraswati and all that. But what is that Tato Jaya Mudirayet means? Jaya Mudirayet means that anybody who is in the materially conditioned state, whose mind is all the time giving trouble in one way or the other, able to stop that vibration of the mind or this wild nature of the mind and bring that mind under complete control and able to put that position in a realized state of the soul, Aham Brahmasmi state. In that effort, Bhagavatam has succeeded. The proof is Parikshit. Is it not? So, in the same way, it is the same message to us also. Through Parikshit, it is telling us. If you take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and follow through Bhagavatam regularly and study it, analyze it, scrutinize it, as they say, that at the end of the Bhagavatam, what did they say? It says to us that Vijaranan, Vipadan Vijaranavaro Bhaktya Vimuchernara. Remember that last words in the Bhagavatam? If you look into that, then Srimal Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin, where Paramahamsyam, Paramahamsa Dharmam is spoken here. Paramahamsa, because Bhagavatam is the story of Paramahamsas, isn't it? You got Rishabhadev, you got Yudhishthira, you got Vidura, they are all Paramahamsas. And also you got Ambarish, you got Uddhava, Paramahamsas. Yasmin Paramahamsyam Paramahamsa Dharmam is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade. That pure knowledge of the self, that is what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pure knowledge of the Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade. Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade. That is what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. And if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, what should be the ultimate benefit? Jnanam Vairagyam. Tatra jnana viragam, and then what else? Bhakti. Three things. Jnanam, vairagyam, bhakti. Sahidam, naishkarmyam, avishkradam. Naishkarmyam will come to him. That means karmam is finished for that person. Even though karmam is going through that body, he is not doing the karmam anymore. Freedom from karmam. That means karmam will still continue, but the ownership of that will leave him. Ownership will leave him. He will not do the karmam. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer will leave from him. Naishkarma, like the last chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about Naishkarma. You remember that? Naishkarma Siddhi. There is a famous book as well. So, Naishkarmyam Avishkadam. It will take you to that state, Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarmyam Avishkadam. Therefore, yet Shrinvan, one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam properly, Vibhatan, one who studied it very well. The what else? Vicharana paro. That is more important. that shrunvan vipadhan vicharana paro. You have to do vicharana. Vicharana means scrutinizing it very well. And then bhaktya vimocharanaram. He will develop that bhakti in the heart that he is ready for release, liberation from here. So that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why you can see here that tato jayam udhirayad. This is the jayam of Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam's jayam? Bhagavatam's jayam is this. A person, because it is Paramahamsa Dharmam, one who has studied Srimad Bhagavatam, yasmin paramahamsam jnanam param giyade, he reaches to the highest state of knowledge. Jnanam param giyade, paramahamsa jnanam will come to him. Then what else? The yatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam, and that knowledge there is jnanam bhakti vairagyam, all three things enough in a person. Naishkarmam avishkritam, it will release him from the identification with the body, identification with the world, identification with all the karma in this world. Yet shrunvan vipathan vicharana paro. One who does shrunvan, hear this, one who studies this, and one who scrutinizes it very well. Bhaktiya vimuchyarnara, and he will get released. Vimuchyarnara, he will get released from this material world. So, anyway, after this, they say Bhagavatam is Krishna's success. Krishna's success, that is. Because through Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna taught this world, it is possible to get liberated from here. And that success, proof of that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Through Parikshit, it has shown to us, isn't it? And all other knowledge, Krishna spoke through rishis, like Vedam, Upanishads and all, Krishna spoke through the rishis. But Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna spoke directly. That's a different. It is the same knowledge in the Upanishads, but it came from Krishna's face directly to us. That's why it's called Bhagavata Dharmam. Because it is spoken by Krishna, it is called Bhagavata Dharmam. So, through Manus and all that, Manyundaram and Manus, and through rishis, through that, Krishna spoke all other dharma, like Varna Dharmam, Ashrama Dharmam, all these kind things Krishna has spoken through them. Through Varna Dharmam, Ashrama Dharmam, everything has come through the Manus, different Manus and all. But Srimad Bhagavata Dharmam, so mukhena, from his own face, Krishna spoke directly to the devotees. So, and what is that Bhagavata Dharmam? What Krishna has spoken to us? That is Srimad Bhagavatam. From his own face and by his own activities, by his own personal activities, all what Krishna has spoken through himself and through his devotees, he presented it to this world. Because Bhagavatam, when you study Bhagavatam, you should not think like this. Krishna means Krishna and the devotees. Devotees means all these great personalities who appeared in the Bhagavatam till now. That includes, right from the beginning, from Yudhishthira onwards, Yudhishthira, Parikshit, Vidura, Maitreya, then all Swayambhuva Manu, Kapila Maharshi, Devahuti, third canto, you see there. Like, and from that, if you look, keep looking like that, you will see all the, they are all Krishna's different manifestations. So, through himself and through his different manifestations, he taught this world what is possible, how to free oneself from this. That's what you find in the all the different cantos. You come to third canto, you see Kapila Deva, Kapila Maharshi Devahuti Samvadam. Who is Kapila Maharshi? Krishna himself. And then, so Krishna himself directly or sometimes through his incarnations or through his devotees. Yes, sir. And then when you come to fourth canto, Lord Shiva is instructing, Sri Parvati is instructing us there. Who are they? Krishna himself has come in that form and instructing us. So, different and teaching us certain things. Don't become like Daksha. Also stressing that point there. Don't offend Lord Shiva. He is me. He is not different from me. Daksha made a huge mistake there. Started differentiating between forms. And that wasn't allowed. So that is why Krishna says to Daksha, whoever thinks Shiva is different from me, he has taken the wrong route. That's how he puts it there. Very clearly the verses are there. So like this, throughout Bhagavatam, Krishna has only one thing to tell us. It is possible to realize that truth here, right now. This knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam is sufficient to take anybody to that stage, provided we have to become like Parikshit. We have to become like Parikshit. And then, naturally, Krishna will send that person to tell Bhagavatam to that person who is ready like Parikshit. So, and Krishna has taken us through all these 9, 10 cantos so far, and for that purpose Krishna came down to this world in front of us, played all these different pastimes here, and after finishing all that, he is now ready to leave this world. Then that means, finally, in the last 89th chapter, Arjuna is Nara, Krishna is Narayana, isn't he? So, Krishna showed to us in that particular pastime, through that Brahmana's pastimes, that we all have different situations in this world. And as Krishna says, Jignyasu, Artharthi, Yani, Artha, all kinds of devotees in this world. Artho, Jignyasu, Artharthi, Yani, Cha, Bharadarshava. Isn't it? So, there are different types of people in this world. Some people are just satisfied if Krishna maintains them in this world happily. They can just get through this life without too much trouble. So their prayers to Krishna will always be that don't give me much trouble in this world. Somehow let me get through this life. They're not too concerned what happens after death. That is due to the conditioning of the person. They think like that. And accordingly, these four categories Krishna has spoken. That's why it has come about. Because some people are just satisfied. They just want to live comfortably in this world without too much hassle. And if you can facilitate that, I'll be your devotee. That's what they're saying to Krishna. Majority will be like that. How many people are bothered about life after death in this world? You think all the 80,000 comes on Janmashtami day is thinking about liberation? If you can get 0.5% of that, you should consider. This majority in all the temples, not only in Bhaktivedanta manner, all over the world, those who are really seriously thinking about life after death and what will happen after death and some goal after death, what is going to happen, frightened about that, there's very, very, very few. Majority of the people are satisfied if I can just get on with life without too much hassle, a reasonable health, a reasonable family life, and children are happy, everybody is reasonably situated, he's happy, and his prasadam is on time, comes, gets his prasadam, and a good place to sleep and lie down, no trouble from anybody else, and I can get through this world. What do you want more than that, they say? There are many people like this. And so, it is from that Artha and Artharthi has come. Whereas, those who, if you put the chart into these four columns, Artha, Jijnyasu, Artharthi, Jnani, you know when they, BBC, when they do the, compare different leaders with their policies, they'll give them red ball and blue ball and tell them to put in the boxes in it. So if you put the four boxes like that and give everybody a ball to put them in, Artharthi and Artha, boxes will be full. Jnani and the Jijnyasu, there will be one or two. You will find. You've seen that? In the high streets and all, they come and they do that. And they show it in the television also, they show it later. So, Artho, Jijnyasu, Artharthi, out of these four, Jijnyasu and Jnani is very, very few. Very rare, you will find. But Bhagavatam is saying to us that with various, many of these pastimes, when you look at it, that in Dwaraka you find a variety of people coming to Krishna for various reasons. And, for example, Krishna's wives, his children, grandchildren. Similarly, there was millions of people in Dwaraka at that time. And Gopi and Krishna's wives, they learned something from the gopis in Seventh Panchakam when they were there. Is it not? Remember what we spoke about that? When they went to Seventh Panchakam, gopis had also come there. And hearing about the gopis' devotion to Krishna, Krishna's wives were very much fascinated to find out what is that special relationship they have with Krishna. So that is why Krishna had to talk to Rukmini and others about that. And they also had an opportunity to see Radharani and others to learn from them that their relationships are on a different level than Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati and all the other wives had with Krishna. So, and when they discussed with Radharani and others, they were saying there, that we are very much affected by the Pulandyastranavi Rudha. Vagodam says that. That these tribal women who were in the forests of Vrindavanam, what relationship they had with Krishna. Seeing their devotion, Radharani was very much affected by that. Radharani says that there. So they, all of these different devotees, whether it is the Pulinda women, or the gopis, or the queens of Dwaraka, they all had a different relationship with Krishna. And ultimately, they all had only one thing to say to us. What is that? Have some relationship with Krishna. In some way, there should be a relationship with Krishna. gopis were saying there that everybody in this creation is serving Krishna in one way or the other. And when they looked at the sky and they are saying, Smritva, Smritva, Pashupa Sudrusha, Prema Bhara Pranunva, Karunyena Tomavivisham, Prahino Yudhavantam, Kimjamushmai Paramasuhrade, Bhaktavaryayadasam Bhaktyudregam, Sakala Bhuvane Durlabham Darshayishyan. Then, even when the river, when the clouds are raining, when releasing the rain, water here, that even they have a relationship with Krishna, they follow Krishna's orders and live accordingly. So, and they were looking at it this way, that when they looked at, gopis looked at the birds and the animals in Vrindavanam, gopis started saying that they have some relationship with Krishna. Because when they saw Krishna, the peacocks were dancing, the birds stopped singing and listening to Krishna's flute. All that is spoken in the 10th canto at different places, isn't it? And seeing Krishna's bluish form, the peacocks were fascinated and they were dancing accordingly. And hearing Krishna's flute, the birds were singing along with that. So, what has happened now? Everybody in the creation, gopis, Krishna's wives, and all of them, even in Dwaraka, they wanted to enjoy with Krishna in one way or the other. And even the material nature, Prakriti, how she responds to Krishna's desires. And this was noticed by the inhabitants of Vrindavanam and inhabitants of Dwaraka as well. They started noticing that the material nature also is resonating to Krishna's desires. Prakriti started acting in the proper way. So they were saying, that is what you find in this 90th chapter, last chapter. Krishna's wives are saying to them, to the birds, tell us about Krishna, what you have experienced about Krishna. Because they all have their realizations. Similarly, the bees and all other living entities, they noticed that all of them had chittavritti nirodham, complete control on their mind. And that is what they have shown to us. That is why that 48th verse is important. Jayati janani vaso devaki janma vado yaduvara parishat svair dorbhirasyanna dharmam stirajara vrijinatnam susmida shri mukhena vrajavira vanitanam vardayan kamadevam. All Krishna's wives and who are participating in this last pastime in the 90th chapter, they have observing the birds, particularly the birds, and seeing that how each and every bird is responding to Krishna in different ways. And after that, that Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance was a success. That is what it means. Krishna's appearance was a success. When we say success, what does it mean? It means that this Srimad Bhagavatam helped Parikshit to get out of his bodily identity and get established in his straight, pure identity in the self. That's what happened. Aham Brahmasmi. Situation has happened. And that Brahmasmi realization, what happened to Parikshit, that is the success of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the success of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, to show to us that for Parikshit this has happened, and Krishna says, Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam pratyaksha Krishna mevahi. I am present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Inquire for me, inquire through Bhagavatam. This is the message. Inquire for me, but inquire through Bhagavatam, not through your mind. Mind has to come to a dead stop. Mind is not helpful at all. So that is why, step by step, it has come to this level. And then it says, that's why Krishnavadaram, why Krishnavadaram is so successful. Krishnavadaram is successful not due to anything else. It has shown to us that somehow or the other, through Srimad Bhagavatam, if one can develop a relationship with Krishna, Soyam Krishnavadaro Jayadi Muriripo Yatra Sankirtanade Sneham Dvesham Anuragam Prabhrudibi Radhulo Ashramai Yoga Bedehi. That what does Bhagavata Dharma is teaching us? It does not matter whichever way it is. Sneham Dvesham Anuragam. All these different kinds of human emotions, people have utilized this, and they all developed, established a relationship with Krishna. Is it not? That's what you find in the Bhagavatam. Kamsa through fear, Shishubala through hate, Gopis through lust, and Sri Narada Maharshi and Pandavas through love, and others through bhakti, in various ways. Like Bhagavatam, you find devotees in different ways responding to Krishna. So, Soyam Krishnavadaro Jayadi Muliripo Yatra Sankirtanadye. Whole Bhagavatam is talking about the glories of these devotees who succeeded in developing this special relationship with Krishna. Prabhadibhi Radhulai Ashramai Yoga Bedehi. You can call them whichever yoga system you want to call it. Then, what else? Artim Tirtha Samaswam Amrudavadamagu Ashidai Yoga Bedehi. Then, in Kaliyugam, we all have one emotion common to all of us. What is that? Distress. That is Kaliyuga person's life. Full of distress, morning to night, struggling hard to live in this world, and finally leaving this world in distress. Is it not? Practically you can see most of the life, whether whoever it is, it doesn't matter. Whether it is Prime Minister, he also, people are after him. They won't let him peacefully sleep. If it is president, they are chasing him also, one way or the other. So you can see from all this, who has got any happiness in this world? Who is peaceful here? Anywhere you can look, you can see it's like a volcano going inside, ready to erupt any time. So, Artim Sita Samastha Amrutamadamagu. That to take out of this distress from a person, Vishwarthi Shandi, and to bring the Shandi inside, Srimad Bhagavatam has succeeded in that effort, and to take us to that state. And after saying that, that 10th canto comes to a close. All we have spoken is just the message of the 90th chapter. That is all it is. And then Krishna is ready to go back to his own abode, to spiritual world. So accordingly, some arrangements were made here to suit that he wants to go back. So, to go back, there must be a reason. And naturally, when Krishna is going back, he has come for a purpose through Parikshit to instruct Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. That was the greatest purpose of all that. And then, also, along with that, other things like destroying the demons and instructing knowledge to Arjuna and Uddhava, and to encourage all the devotees, Krishna's favorite devotees, all of them through the gopis, to instruct the message to us. All that business is over now. And now Krishna is ready to go. At that time, accordingly, a proper reason has to come now. Krishna has to say, I'm going back. Although there has to be a reason for that. And that reason was also created. Krishna has created that reason also. So all the rishis are coming to see Krishna. And that's what you will see in the verse there. In the what does it say? It says that Bhubhara Raja Pradana, 11th canto, first verse. Bhubhara Raja Pradana Yadubirnirasya Gupta Isabahubira Jindayada Prameya Manyevanayarmanu Gadopyagadam Hibharam Yadyadavam Kulamaho Avishakhyamaste. Yadyadavam Kulamaho Avishakhyamaste. These people who had come with Krishna here, Yadavas, they also must go. They shouldn't stay here. That decision was also made, because if they stay here, they will create a lot of problems here. And knowing very well, Krishna decided that once this Yadava race, once I have gone, they'll become more proud and they'll become create more disaster in this world. Even while Krishna was here, Krishna could not control them. They were in such a state of aggression that Krishna decided that they should also be killed. They should also be killed. So, and that is why that mausoleum happened. You remember? It's called the mausoleum. Mausoleum happened at that time, and we will discuss mausoleum and the rest of it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.